Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
One thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh.
Well, you know, I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports, coming to you live from Dead in Studios here in Atlanta, Georgia. We did not have an episode last week. We spent time with family. We hope you guys managed to do so as well. Ate some turkey. Well, we didn't have turkey at the crib, so I just had the traditional black folk stuff, macaroni and cheese, some yams from the motherland and stuff like that.
Straight from Africa.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So their
cousin brought it in for you. He had to hook up the customers.
So if you guys are new to the show, man, we've been doing this, what, since 2013, so we've been in it for a minute. We have no agenda. We don't have to comply to any NFL shields or anything like that. We are, just like hip-hop, fans of sports. And we here, we just going to talk like we always talk, give it to you raw and uncut. My name is Kenneth B. Inge. Joining me on the show, as usual, we have FIFO 24/7.
Thank you, sir.
BZ430.
What up, though?
And Nikki Duce from the No Disrespect Podcast.
What's going on?
We need to drop that. Like, Nikki Duce is Nikki Duce now.
Drop what?
We don't need to say from the No Disrespect
Podcast.
No, we do. He don't need that promo no more.
I always need the promo. What you mean, bro?
You part of Dead End.
You have your own saying. Everybody say bumping the whip. I gotta get mine. They need to start keeping.
But they're not gonna be saying, hey, what's up, Nikki Duce from the No Disrespect Podcast?
Now they'll say Mr. No Disrespectful, or they'll say, what's up, Nikki Duce?
Here's Mr. Disrespect. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know what? I do need to tag that again. Yeah, mm-hmm. We did get away from Mr. Disrespect. Yeah.
He's been hella disrespectful this year. And we out here now.
Hella wrong.
We're going to get to the wrong and right. You know what I'm saying? We already know the mellow topic coming up.
Oh, yeah. Oh. His dancing partner, you know what I'm saying? He ain't dancing with him no more, huh?
We're going to talk about that. Yeah. We're talk about that.
Right.
Hey, like Shakira.
Top 10 up.
Them hips don't lie. All right. Not a Shakira ain't the only one.
Hey, they've been lying from week to week.
So we got, as usual, football, and we got basketball. And we've been getting some tweets, man, about some disrespect towards Karl Anthony Towns. So we're going to address that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to address that
talk
as well.
Catting them.
Yeah. So, all right, man, let's go ahead and jump into it.
I mean, sure, we ain't going to bury the lead. Lamar Jackson's been balling, you know what I'm saying? Like, basically running away with the MVP, all pun intended. My question is, will Baltimore's success go all the way to the Super Bowl?
It can.
I hope it does.
Why are you always hesitant? But I want him
careful
to explain that, because everybody's jumping on it now because what they won, 8 straight.
Mm-hmm. Or 9 straight, isn't it?
I think I heard 8. It could
Either
be
way.
9. Yeah, it's still a great. Yeah.
Half the season.
B, tell me why you still should be hesitant on the Baltimore Ravens.
I mean, well, you know, I'm a kind of a postseason guy, so I still want to see. I want to see how Lamar Jackson's going to perform once the lights get brighter. You know what I'm saying? And of course, he's taking the world by storm this season the same way Pat Mahomes took the world by storm last year. And I was like, I want to see how Pat Mahomes perform under the bright lights. You know what I'm saying? So with this one, like I love the fact that they're having fun. You know, Lamar Jackson is playing well. He's playing like he's having a great season. I'm glad that he's doing well. I'm supporting the brother. I want him to do great because of all the backlash that he had last year. You know, is he a good thrower? He can run, but can he throw? We already told you he's an athlete. And he said since the moment he got in this league that he is a quarterback, and he's proved that this season. I just hope once we get, especially, you know, once we get to the postseason, I hope they can lock home field advantage. But they're going to have to end up playing, you know, possibly the Patriots again in the playoff. Mm-hmm. And we know how playoff Patriots are. Like I told you, I texted on the thread earlier. I'm like, look, you know, Patriots, y'all say Patriots looking bad or whatever, but, like, I ain't going to count them out until I see them take an L this postseason and they are done for the year. Then I'm going to say yes. Then I can breathe easy. But until then, I'm not counting out Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in the postseason.
Here's the thing,
so I'm
too,
being
though.
Cautious.
Like, all right, first off.
Because we know, hold on. Mm-hmm. Because we know in playoff football, just like in playoff sports in general, things intensify a little more. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I want to see Lamar Jackson showed me a little bit, you know, yesterday from how tight that game was, how close mm-hmm. that game was. He didn't.
He was poised.
He was poised. So, mm-hmm. you know, going into postseason, it's going to be just like that. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So I want to see him showing me little glimpses of that game yesterday. It was like, okay, if it gets tough, then he's going to still stay poised. So I want to see if he's going to continue that.
Like for me, it's and I don't necessarily agree with B, but I understand where B is coming from, right? Because the saying any given Sunday is 100% true.
It is.
Any little mistake can change the game, and you could lose even though it doesn't matter. Like, didn't Dak and them, the Dallas Cowboys, they had like 400 yards of offense or something and had 7 points to show for it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you can accumulate yards and move the ball, but if you're not scoring and converting,
on the board.
It doesn't matter. You know, somebody can hit 4 field goals and beat you, and you have 500 yards of total offense. So any given Sunday – Like it doesn't really matter, right? And going back to what B was saying too, like yesterday, we know that San Fran has the best front seven. We know it's not close. Mm-hmm. And the way that he was able to stay poised and just continue to run the offense, this is what we're gonna do, right? He all of those little you know, option plays, he ran them. He got
still
positive
ran
yards.
For over 100 yards too.
Still ran for over 100 yards. Had a rushing touchdown, passed for a buck and some change, and had a passing touchdown. Yep. You know, but at the end of the day, in those playoffs, you know, Stephon Gilmore, and especially, you know, you talking about the Patriots, it's one thing to beat Bill Belichick once. How many people beat him twice?
That's what I'm saying. That's
in the same season.
In the same season.
It doesn't happen often. So I get where B is coming from.
Especially if they're playing at Gillette Stadium. Now, it's a chance that might be at Baltimore.
That was my question for you. How key is it for them to get a first round bye?
How key is it?
I mean, in all honesty, it don't really matter.
Because, I mean, yeah, we've seen a lot of Super Bowl winning teams.
But for this team.
I don't think
they need every advantage they can get.
I disagree.
I don't think so, for
this reason. Defense and running travels.
It does.
And they do both of those.
No matter what. And no matter what type of weather.
It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, look, I think this would be kind of crazy to see, but I think Lamar Jackson could win a game where he has 7 or 10 pass attempts. How many teams can we say that about the quarterback? Well, you only got 10 pass attempts and y'all won the game.
Well, I told y'all 2 weeks ago they went in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you did, Ken. You did.
And
is that why you're wearing purple today?
Big trust.
I asked the question after one dominating performance, and then after they beat down another winning team, I was like, oh, no, they're going to win. I also said that I probably cursed them. So I will acknowledge that.
Max Kellerman, the man.
Yeah. You think that they're peaking too early though? Because you know
That's what I'm hearing. They may not
they're right on time.
Not to say they are doing that right now, but could we see that? We've seen that it happened before in season.
You need
right?
all the momentum.
We've seen the Packers had go 15-1, then they get knocked.
They didn't have
off.
A defense. Remember.
But the Ravens didn't really have a defense early on this season either.
The Ravens have a defense and they have Lamar Jackson.
And they had a foundation of a defense. The thing was they couldn't be aggressive because they didn't have the back line to support that aggressiveness. But now you got Earl Thomas and Marcus Peters back there.
Marcus Peters
has been huge. Send everybody.
We got a fact. We got a fax only from the chat. James said the Ravens beat the Pats twice in 2012, and they won the Super Bowl that year.
We talking Lamar Jackson era. That's
But it happened.
Exactly.
That still goes to your point.
Exactly.
It was 2012.
How many times?
We in 2019.
Of course.
That's a long time.
That's a very long time. And it doesn't happen often, right? Like, we're talking almost a decade since the last time it happened.
So, the question of this show is Lamar Jackson a superstar? And prior to the show.
That's not even a question. What are you talking about?
Well, Nick questioned.
A superstar?
When I mentioned it, Nick questioned. He was like, already?
I was like,
It wasn't like the second season. Yeah, you didn't ask me if I was wrong. You were like already like kind of inquisitive.
Because go back to B's.
I think so,
opening,
bro.
Opening statement
Mahomes
as far as like.
Wasn't after 1 year?
Technically, that was his.
1 year of play.
Yeah, that last year one was year, his first of play. Year of play.
He was the MVP, so yes, he probably yes he was. But for me, it was just more of because, again, like you, B, you brought up Mahomes last year. It's the same type of excitement that we had. But look how we forget about Mahomes. Granted, he's been hurt and banged up a little bit too. But
his weapons been.
But
hurt
he dropped
too,
40. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's still putting up numbers. But we just like, oh, we even forgetting about Russell Wilson at this point. It's like, damn, like this guy just came on the scene.
We're not forgetting about them. It's just that all of these guys are so different, and this is just Lamar's time. Like, we look, and I saw some media pundits talking about Lamar Jackson better than Pat Mahomes. Wait, hold on, pump the brakes.
Some people are saying they'd rather have Lamar Jackson than Pat Mahomes.
We need to talk about Mahomes after this.
Okay, pump the brakes, because for me, Mahomes.
Don't pump him.
Don't pump him.
Mahomes has a way better arm. Like, to me, he is an extreme version, and I know, and I said this a year ago. It sounds crazy, but he's like an extreme version of Aaron Rodgers.
Is his arm better than Patty?
Who? Lamar?
No.
It's not close.
See, Ken's already trying to go off the ledge. He's trying to just take
you
it
think
to the
so?
House.
I know, man.
He's going to question.
So you think Lamar Jackson's arm is better than Pat Mahomes?
I don't know. In terms of accuracy or strength? Are we talking arm strength?
Are you talking about potential?
He got accuracy, but I'm talking about arm strength.
Both.
Are you talking about potential? Like, cause we, I don't think the one thing I would say about Lamar Jackson, we haven't seen a ceiling yet. I think with Pat Mahomes, we're seeing more closely to his ceiling, like all of his tools.
What do you mean we haven't seen a ceiling?
As far as like
what's, passing,
passing wise, like
I think he's better and more accurate.
Cause he's already shown he's an athletic freak, but as far as a quarterback passing wise and be able, cause Pat Mahomes, he can hurt you at any place of the field. I haven't seen that yet from Lamar.
True.
From passing wise.
Well, the attack is different, so we're not going to see that.
But if he did have that, you couldn't stop him. Even though you can barely stop him now, if he can throw and run as well as Patty Mahomes, it's a wrap.
No, of course. And that's the reason why Lamar Jackson is where he's at and why he is going to win the MVP. Like, Russell Wilson's had a great season.
What if Russell ball out tonight?
It don't matter.
I told y'all Lamar Jackson was the MVP.
Yeah, it don't matter. You know why? Matter. Because he's done it against the best defenses, bro.
Yep.
And they've won. It wasn't just a good game.
Yeah.
No, he beat Russell Wilson head-to-head. Mm-hmm. He beat the 49ers. He beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
Nah, man. He beat the Texans. He beat the Texans. And he stomped on the Texans.
Yes.
Right?
I think that was the one. That was the game.
He blew them out. Yeah,
that was the one where I was like, nah, they win the Super Bowl.
Didn't he start like 12 for 12 in that game with like 2 touchdowns or something like that?
But also, Russell, he also beat, you know, the Rams early, beat this 49ers. He was the first team to
barely.
He beat the first.
But barely, though.
See how the Baltimore barely beat San Fran, too.
I think that told me more about 49ers than it did about the Ravens.
100%. Yep. And here's the thing about that Seattle 49ers game, because I watched that entire game. That was an amazing game.
That was probably one of the best Monday Night Football games.
Yes, 100%. The thing was, is like, you know, Russell had that mistake
in
overtime,
the game, yeah.
Right? And we know that Russell Wilson is unflappable. Doesn't matter the situation. Doesn't matter. He's cool, calm, and collected. But even though he has new weapons and all of this type of stuff, they're not blowing teams away. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They're winning games, and it has a lot to do with Russell Wilson, but they're not blowing them out. When you watch Ravens games, for the most part, you're not going to blow out 49. Bro, you can't blow out a defense like that. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, those other teams, they're blowing them out. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they're blowing them out is because of Lamar, because they can't do nothing with him. Did you just see what he did? Who number 24, the DB, when he juked him inside?
Knees was out. Knees was out.
That's a DB.
Hey, FIFO, I'm looking at the Seahawks schedule. So their biggest win was against the Cardinals. They beat them 27-10. Everything else has been closer.
Close.
The Seahawks.
You know, and that's the difference as to why Lamar Jackson
but
is the MVP.
But also
not.
The team, we're talking about the Seattle Seahawks team and the Baltimore Ravens team. We're not just talking about the quarterbacks. The Ravens have, like you mentioned, they got a stout defense. They have a
Seattle has a pretty damn good defense.
Yeah, and I would also argue possibly. Well, no, they play the same schedule for the most part.
And then here's the thing, too, right? Like, Jadeveon Clowney isn't going to get a lot of praise based off of the numbers, but his impact is felt. Same type of thing we was trying to tell Ken about Big Boy in L.A., Aaron Donald, couple seasons
ago. Oh, yeah. Overrated Aaron Donald?
Nah.
Hey.
Sometimes as D lineman, you're not going to get the sack. You're not going to get the hurry. You're not going to get the force fumble. You're not going
to
get that.
But your presence needs to be
But
felt.
Your presence,
his presence
is
not
felt.
Being felt this year. We're not talking about that.
No, we're not even talking about the Rams. All right. But Jadeveon
we're not talking
Clowney,
about Aaron Donald either.
We're not. But Jadeveon Clowney has been a big impact for that team. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, they're not blowing teams out. And I feel like this. If you switch out, and this sounds crazy as hell, you switch out Lamar for Russell Wilson, them Seahawks teams probably blowing some of these teams out. Because
I would agree with that.
Because Russell, they both are pass first quarterbacks. But when Russell runs, he's going
to
run for 5 to 7
but
yards.
I don't know about
that.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like that. Uh-huh. That's what I was saying. That we talking about the Seattle Seahawks and the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. The teams are talent-wise drastically different. Like mm-hmm. there's a lot of no names on Seattle, and there's a lot of well-known names on Baltimore.
Who's a name on the offensive side in Baltimore?
You still got Mark Ingram. I mean, Chris Carson. You ain't bringing him up like that.
But is Mark Ingram a top five running back
this season? He is.
This season, why?
Because he's. I mean, he was balling in New Orleans though as well.
But he was a power back.
He's a power back now.
But he plays more downs now. His impact is a lot more now.
Yeah, because he's got the main job. He was sharing it with Alvin.
And
he's
talking a lot more shit now. He didn't talk shit like that in New Orleans.
Why though?
Mark Ingram is 12th in yards rushing back. Rushing yards.
What about touchdowns?
Let's see. And all that's off Lamar.
And that's my point. The reason why the Ravens are what they are is because of Lamar Jackson.
He's fifth in touchdowns. Fifth in touchdowns and 12th in yards.
And I feel that where Lamar is, just like Patrick Mahomes, you put those two quarterbacks on any team, every team improves. Except
the
for maybe
only thing I like, my only concern would be the offensive line. Could they block that run scheme that they're running for Lamar Jackson on those read options and those run plays?
Seattle does not have a good enough line to do all that.
No.
He could still – I'm not going to say he won't be a successful quarterback, but not as successful as what he's doing in Baltimore.
100%. You know how cool, calm, and collected he looks right now?
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't be as cool, calm, and collected with Seattle because that rush is going to get there just that hair quicker where he's going to have to make a move, mm-hmm. you know, do something quicker than he wants to do. But I still think he'll have a tremendous level of success. But at the end of the day, we're talking about Patrick Mahomes, right? His talent and the ascension of Lamar Jackson, and is he a superstar? And the answer to me is yes. Now, is he better than Patrick Mahomes as a pure athlete? Yes. As somebody that can make something out of nothing, I give Lamar Jackson just a little bit more than Patrick Mahomes.
As the positions, as the quarterback position, would you mm-hmm. pick?
I take Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
I'll take Patrick Mahomes.
So then, that's your answer.
Yeah, my answer is Patrick Mahomes is better because with his arm is bigger.
You could do more with him.
You could do more with him.
I agree.
His arm is bigger than Lamar. And that's no slight to Lamar because Lamar got a dart out there. He's throwing darts.
There's no disrespect to
Lamar. No disrespect. But we're talking about a person that I felt uncomfortable saying he probably got a better arm than Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers is the best arm I've ever seen. And Mahomes has a better arm than that. That's crazy to me.
He ain't playing like it, though.
Who?
Patty. Go ahead, talk about. You want to talk about Patty? What's up? What you got? What you got to say about Patty?
Just saying he hurt
because I had
he had
a question
right.
on the Chiefs back.
Well, we can get to the Chiefs, but let's finish. So the reason why I think Lamar Jackson is a superstar is because he's taking the NFL by storm. That's all people are talking about. That's all people want to talk about. They've been slow to adopt the conversation around him. They've been coming up with all kind of excuses of why he's successful. And it's hard for them to ignore. They got to talk about
it. But I will say this, and this is no disrespect. This is no disrespect to Lamar Jackson. Mm-mm. But was this not did this not get the same hysteria as far as this season as when Tim Tebow was running out with
No.
I'm just saying he was a similar quarterback because some people said
similar. Not
as
similar.
Far as
Lamar
like
Jackson,
you know why? As far as like he
was, Tim,
people
man.
Thought he was just running around like he ain't got no arm and all that.
On.
I'm not saying again. I'm not saying this is who he is.
How many minutes
but,
are this man?
This man, Michael.
I'm just saying as far as the hype of this because he hasn't done anything yet.
Nah.
He has not proven himself yet in the playoffs. He's still got he's got a losing record in the playoffs.
He's 0-1 in the playoffs. He's losing record. Is Patrick Mahomes. Is he?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
No. He beat
he's
the
one.
He's 1-1. Yeah. He's 500.
But look, here's the reason why the hype isn't the same. First of all, the hype coming out of college, Tim Tebow was bigger than Lamar Jackson, even though they both were Heisman Trophy winners,
yes.
right? But very early on in preseason, we saw, oh, shit, Tim Tebow cannot throw this ball.
We saw it in college.
We saw it in college. But he put up big numbers in college.
He did, but college is easy. But we knew he couldn't throw the ball.
Yeah, right. He's still like one of the greatest college football
players ever.
100%.
Give it to him.
But coming into the league, we knew, like, just look at some of the sets that the Broncos, when he went against the Steelers, right? Remember that play?
Yeah.
It was one wide receiver on the field, man. Like he can't make multiple reads. If he had to go to receiver number two or three, you were going to get Tim Tebow sacked. With Lamar Jackson, the difference is that he can go to receiver one, two, three, four. Oh, let me buy some time. Okay, and then go back to one. Tim Tebow was never that. So the hype died down really quick. People just wanted Tim Tebow to win. But the difference with Lamar is that we're seeing the ascension of Lamar Jackson because we saw what he was last year.
The rise of stardom.
Exactly. And if you said that last year, I might more so agree with you because he didn't look like he looks now. And remember, even at the beginning of the season, I said I had to walk a lot of that Lamar Jackson talk back and me talking about Baltimore not winning because I didn't.
You didn't think that was going to break?
Find me somebody that said Lamar Jackson was going to be doing this, what he's doing right now.
Well, Harbaugh came out early and said, we're going to shock the league with this offense. And that's what coaches always say. Right. That's why we dismissed it. But literally, that's what happened. So
that's what happened.
I would just say the reason why I'm hesitant is because, to B's point, playoffs is what I look at to how you judge anybody's stardom. And once he can do this in the playoffs, again, we're, what, three, 4 weeks away?
4 weeks away.
That's still like a whole month left. But December is all about.
What if he doesn't?
No, wait, hold on. Mm. You're missing the one key word that you miss in all of your arguments. Context. Because you talked about Patrick Mahomes being 1-1. That loss, that was on Patrick Mahomes?
No.
It wasn't on him.
He got off to a slow start. But he did a good job coming back, but that was on D4.
The way they lost, that play had nothing to do with
Patrick. It had nothing to do with Pat Mahomes, right? And he's 1-1. And obviously the last year with Lamar Jackson, that was all Lamar. He had three completions through three quarters.
The Chargers played him best. That was the best I've ever seen him play against.
First year, this, that, and the third.
Right.
If, again, this year, let's just say they go up against Belichick and them, and they do everything, and all of a sudden, Earl Thomas gets a pass interference call that puts them in field goal range, and that's how they win the game.
Like how the Chargers lost.
And now Lamar Jackson's 0-2. That's really on Lamar?
Well, let's say they get a first round bye because it looks like they're gonna get that with their record, first or second seed. They get knocked out that first game. Mm-hmm. Still a superstar, or is it more?
It depends on how they lose.
I still think he'll be a superstar because I think being a superstar goes a little bit beyond, like playoff record because that's more of how are you entertaining me? And with Lamar Jackson, with those runs and some of these throws, he will continue to entertain people. Guys like us will critique his football play and how successful he is performing or doing those things. Lamar Jackson can be running around and doing all this and not winning. He could easily be Michael Vick when Michael Vick was doing some of this stuff and not winning. Michael Vick had some winning seasons, but after a while, it just became a show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it didn't go anywhere.
It was like you just got the ticket to see Mike Vick.
The Mike Vick experience.
That's it. But right now, that man's a superstar, man.
And the reason why, and I'm glad that you brought up Vick, is because you see the difference between Mike Vick and Lamar Jackson. Mike Vick said, hey, none of y'all people is faster than me. None of y'all can throw harder than me. And I'm going to just go out here and do what I does every day. Lamar is like, y'all not strong. Well, y'all not faster than me. A lot of you quarterbacks think that y'all could throw better than me. I'm going to prove it to y'all. But you see him put in the work as a passer. The feet in the pocket, impeccable. His decision-making, better than almost any season Vic had outside of the Andy Reid years in Philly. And that was obviously a diminished Michael Vick.
Is his success as far as being better than Vic dealing with his, like, between the ears?
Yep.
Or is that because of the environment?
I think it's between the ears because I think quarterbacks learn from him. Vic went on national television or did some special and said that he did not look at the tapes.
Mm-hmm.
He said those tapes were in his front seat. He said he was out there freestyling.
Mm-hmm.
I think people recognize that or people may have heard that because I'll be surprised if Lamar Jackson said he did not grow up watching Vic.
Mm-hmm.
Every black
yep.
quarterback, every black kid watch Michael Vick.
If you play football, you know who Michael Vick is.
So I think that they are learning from him. I think they're learning from RG3 when he didn't slide, because we're seeing him slide. Mm-hmm. I think you're seeing guys, these running quarterbacks, be smarter with their decision-making than before.
Yep. And you mentioned environment, 100% the environment as well. We know Baltimore is one of the most stable organizations in the NFL. So I think that played a lot to do with it. And like I said a couple weeks ago, shout out to Ozzie, knock on wood, you know what I'm saying? Like he left Baltimore in the best position that any GM could have on his way out.
And got ridiculed for it.
Right. But that's why we got to give the man praise now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's why we build platforms for stuff like that. And I think the third thing is working on your craft, not just watching the film and seeing how people want to play you and take away the things that you want to do, but you and that was the aspect coming into the season that I didn't account for. I didn't account on him making such a big jump as a QB. But that's big.
And I agree with you, even though they've said, like, because in the offseason, they're like, Lamar Jackson had a phenomenal offseason. But we hear that every offseason about every quarterback, every player, that, oh, yeah, I lost this amount of weight. I put this amount of muscle on. They're like, all right, you're supposed to do that. But, like, with his jump, is like, big. Yeah, that's like.
Big.
And he got to keep it up. Yeah. He just got
to
keep it up.
That's my thing. Is like, I have to see it, like, you in high-pressure moments. So once I see it, and like you said, a context, it does take into account. But I do think this is their year, though.
Do you think high pressure moments exist in the regular season?
They do, especially in football.
But I always think in the back of some quarterbacks' mind, like there's next week. The high pressure moment when you're in the playoffs is like, this is it.
It is, but you learn also from the regular season, and those moments in the regular season can cost you one or two wins that don't give you the moment in the playoffs.
100%. And also, I slightly disagree with you, with you saying that quarterbacks think about next week. Because the top echelon, the top 10, not including Dak, they go to the sideline right after every play, and they look at what the defense was just doing. So I think that the best quarterbacks, they look at it from play to play, not next week.
No, I'm not saying next week as far as like in the moment, but I said in the back of their mind is like, okay, this is one, like, this. It's a long season. They always talk about it's a long.
I thought you were saying in the back of your mind.
No, I think in the back of quarterback's mind is like, it's a long season. Like, there's a lot of football to be played. They always say that in the postgame.
Because that's just conjecture. That's for us.
That's why they say don't put too much pressure on this right now, because we got, it's a long season.
But
Aaron Rodgers said R-E-L-X, you know what I'm saying, relax.
Let me ask you something, right? Like, you play team sports?
Yeah.
You know that, and we, like, you know, I played in high school and stuff like that. We didn't have, like, interviews typically after a game or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have to dilute the message for somebody to understand it that doesn't necessarily isn't involved or as invested as I am. But you know, when you are there with your teammates, you know what I'm saying? You are thinking, you're not thinking about, oh, yeah, we're going to get it back. In that moment, you're thinking about everything that freaking happened. You know what I'm saying? It's all about that moment. And I think that the greatest players always think about that moment and what they could have done different. Well, we get into interviews and stuff like that, man. That's just conjecture, bro. I take that with the biggest grain of salt you can fucking.
And it is always any given Sunday. Ask the Eagles.
Yeah, yes. And you give it the damn Dolphins, man.
We're gonna get to them. But as we were talking about Patty a little bit, but my question was to y'all, like, are the Chiefs back? Because they dropped.
Nope. The Raiders just suck.
Come on,
tried to tell you.
They don't suck. Yeah, they don't suck. They're not a good football.
They're not
team.
A
y'all
top
tried
team.
To sell me the Ravens.
The Raiders.
But
we just said, are you impressed with John?
They're better
Gruden?
than what we thought they were.
Are they?
They are.
Anyway. No, I don't think didn't they get smoked by somebody last week? We expect them to lose to the Chiefs, but who did they lose to last week? The Jets? Didn't the Jets beat the shit out of them?
I think it was Sammy.
34-3.
And then he just got smacked by the Bengals. But see, y'all want me to respect the Raiders?
That's what we thought we was going to see all season. We haven't seen it all. What's the Raiders' record? Are they
5-7.
Okay, 2 games below .500. That's better than
that's
I thought they would be.
That's way better than I thought they would be. I thought they would be a
like
number one.
They,
I thought they would be
6-6. They 6-6.
6-6.
500.
Yeah. I thought they'd be like 3-9, bro.
They were 6-5. They lost.
They can still have a winning season this year.
Exactly. Nobody saw that, Ken.
Anyway. Pat, they put up a lot of points, but and maybe I mean they did have a lot of rushing yards, but Patty didn't have a good game yesterday, and they it wasn't like they ran the ball effectively, so it wasn't like a lot of those yards that he normally put up were transferred to the ground game. It was the Raiders just were really bad.
So you putting all the you're just saying the Raiders suck. You better throw up points on them, pretty much.
Patty got to play points. Now, I will give the Chiefs credit for their defense somewhat because they've had some good games defensively. But I also, as always, got to look at the quality of the competition. And, you know, you expect them to do or play better defensively against some of those teams that they face. But what happens when you're facing the Ravens? What are you going to do with that?
I would say
even though they beat the Ravens earlier, 33-28.
I think this season of Patty Mahomes is the Patty Mahomes that I really respect more than last season, just for the fact of how much he's had to endure, and also he's running now. He's not looking for the you know the go ahead touchdown pass and all that. He's actually being more meticulous. He'll take the 5 yards, the Brady like way, like five mm-hmm. yards here, 3 yards here, 5 yards here, just to get to the first down, move the chains. And you're seeing that still win games. And
playoff-like.
Yeah, he's more.
I think he'll need that.
He's slowing himself down. He's not, you know, getting flustered with like, damn, we didn't get a touchdown that drive. It's more of like, we just trying to win the game and do whatever, put ourselves in a position to win.
I think they'll definitely be a tough out in the playoffs. But I think what this season has shown is that last year it was all about Patrick. Mm-hmm. They go into the Super Bowl. They're going to win it all. Mm-hmm. Coming into this year, oh, man, they're going to get it this time. Now this year, it's all about Lamar Jackson. Now they got the best team. It's like the parody exists in a weird certain way. In the
now
NFL.
You mentioned the AFC is back.
You only got one shot. Like when you get to the Super Bowl, ask Dan Marino.
Mm-hmm. Man, if you don't, shot. Man, mm-hmm. if you don't take advantage of that one shot,
should ask Cam Newton.
You don't know if it's coming.
Right. Ask Colin.
Right. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Colin Kaepernick.
Colin. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know if it's gonna come back.
But they turn off the lights on that nigga. They ain't want him to win.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but But no, I think they'll still be a tough.
Are you? It sounds like you're kind of writing them off.
They don't look the same.
They don't look as.
You think it's injuries though playing a part of that?
100%.
Do you think coordinators too kind of catching up?
Not really.
A little bit.
Because you can't scheme for that type of immense talent. Like mm-hmm. you can't box Mahomes in, man.
They don't have a running game.
They don't have, and that's exactly what I was going to say. Like going into the playoffs, yes, Pat Mahomes is more methodical. He looks like he's growing as a quarterback, mm-hmm. right? He's taking the easy wins, and then he'll go for the big shot when it presents itself instead of trying to force it. But to Ken's point, they need a running game, and they don't have that. And
Kareem Hunt.
Gone.
Yeah, they missing him.
That was the guy.
They made an organizational decision.
They had to.
They made a PR move, which isn't wrong.
I think they made a decision based on their organizational moral code and ethics. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, and it's coming back to bite them.
But it is what it is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, like, you have to stand for something.
Yeah. Right, right,
and that
right.
was just
And they still
like,
got to the AFC Championship game without him.
But Damian Williams hasn't been that dude. LeSean McCoy is not shady.
Himself.
He just shades. Yeah. he's
a shell of himself.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. So without a running game, that's going to be rough.
And you can't survive in the NFL without a running game. As much as they want to depreciate the running backs,
especially
every great team
especially
has a good
in the postseason. You need to run the game. You need to run the game in the postseason.
You need that balance. You need something for the defense to focus on, and it can't be the pass.
Yep.
Because when they focus on the pass, guess what? Hey, you run a 4-3, you run a 4-4, you run a 4-5. Go get the quarterback, and that's it. And that's literally what you're doing every play, especially if you got those type of guys.
Y'all don't see the Chiefs making a deep run again.
I think they can. I think when you have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, you always got a shot.
I just don't think that they can beat Baltimore.
Yeah.
Let's just say if it's Baltimore, Kansas City.
They did beat Baltimore, though.
They beat, but that was a close game.
That's when Patrick Mahomes had both his legs.
Exactly. And let's be honest, that Baltimore Ravens team isn't this Baltimore Ravens team, mm-hmm. right? This Baltimore Ravens team knows what they need to do to dominate time of possession.
And their confidence is like sky high.
The one thing I would say, the one main.
The kicker coming out to my big trust. Right. You got Mark Ingram talking shit.
They called him something. I forgot what it was. But Justin Tucker's, they're saying he's a Hall of Famer, like in the locker room. But I think he's easily the best kicker in football right now.
So, oh.
Real quick, the AFC playoff matchups right now. So right now you got Baltimore and New England, the 1-2 seeds, getting a bye. You got Buffalo, Houston, KC, and Pittsburgh is the wild card squads. So, AFC playoffs. Hey, Buffalo, man, that defense. Jesus Christ.
Man, I'm sure will. Is it time to believe in the Bills?
Yes.
It's time to believe in them? It's time to believe in them? What?
Are you saying the Bills are Josh Allen?
I don't know what I believe in.
That defense, but man.
I watched this was the first football I watched all year. I just normally watch the highlights. And Josh Allen, I give him his props, man. He isn't the best. He's a white Cam Newton. He is the white Cam Newton.
Athletic.
Yep.
Good enough. Good arm.
Yeah.
Right. It's just between.
It's just real strong, but not accurate.
Yep.
But they defense though. I didn't know their defense was that good.
So what I was saying is, you have, and I'm conceding, I was wrong on them. Like, but. Was it just because they played Dallas?
No, Ken, no.
We're going to get to Dallas, don't boo-boo on Dallas.
Don't boo-boo on the Buffalo Bills defense because they've been playing this brand of defense all year.
Yes, they have. And they kind of started late last season, too.
Mm-hmm, they started getting it together.
Yeah.
Wasn't it last year that the cornerback walked off and retired in the middle of
the game? That was the all corner.
Right, man, hold on. Like. Okay, outside of the Cowboys.
You're looking at they win.
You know how I am. Broncos, Dolphins, mm-hmm. Browns, okay. Redskins.
Okay.
They got the Eagles beat them. They beat the Dolphins. They beat the Titans.
Titans is doing really good right now.
The record is the record.
You don't know if you can still trust them?
I'm not saying.
They always say what your record says.
They play the Ravens this Sunday.
They get the Ravens. That's going to be a show.
Is that
game.
A one
at home?
What time is it?
Then they get the Steelers. Game. They should beat the Steelers because they're challenged offensively.
They get the Patriots at Gillette.
And then they get the Patriots. That was a close game,
right?
And they get a struggling Patriots team.
Yep.
And then they get the Jets again. The schedule is what it is. The record is the record. They reversed the strength of schedule for moments like this. But just what I've seen with my eyes, I'm going to go by that.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them their props, and I'm going to concede that defense is legit.
The defense is legit?
I'll give it that.
I think they're a first-round exit.
Yes.
I think that's the type of team that
they are. I think they actually can get past the first. Like, when B was putting off those wild cards.
Depends on the
if
matchup.
The Steelers can get it, or
Steelers.
Oh, no, they lost to the Browns. My bad.
Steelers would be the 6th seed. Kansas City right now be the 5th seed. Houston the 4th seed, and Buffalo 3.
Yeah, they can probably beat. I can see them beating one of them. I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah,
if it's Kansas City, I'll be shocked. But
they don't.
Wait,
have,
who'd I get first round right now?
The playoffs started today.
If the playoffs start today, of course. Like I said, Baltimore, New England buys
the wild
card. The wild card matchups probably be Buffalo against Pittsburgh because they're 3 seed and Pittsburgh.
They could be.
Yeah, especially with Duck Hodges.
And it'll be a home game for them. Since
they got the Red Hats out there.
And Houston and Kansas City will be matching up against each other.
I won't be surprised either. But I'm just.
More surprised if they lose to a third string?
Fourth string
was Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you this. What if Pittsburgh? They 7-5 right now. What if they go 10-6?
That's crazy.
Tomlin should be considered.
That's another question I have.
He should definitely be like
coach of the year.
You say definitely coach of the year. They go 10-2,
bro. You
with
talking
a
about
fourth string?
Fourth string,
right? I'm saying
you talking about the only real addition was Micah Fitzpatrick,
right,
bro?
A defensive player in the offensive league,
right? Like you have to be considered for coach of the year if
and
you go 10-6.
And then Pouncey, one of the Pouncey brothers, their center. He was for the whole Cleveland Brown thing. I think he was suspended two games.
Yep.
You know, say in and out with injuries on that O line. Yo,
your quarterback is doinked on the head. Yeah,
like this is tough, by far Mike Tomlin's best coaching that he's done.
Yeah.
Should this be the last time we hear Tomlin on the hot seat?
It won't. Yeah, I'm with Ken.
It needs to be, though. What more
right.
is he
That's
doing?
What I'm saying.
I get it, but I don't
at this
think
point,
it's going to happen.
He should be Teflon after this season.
He should be.
To be anything, you should start looking at Big Ben and like, we need to move on.
Yeah, 100%.
Right.
It's like,
right.
First round, they need to drop a quarterback.
They don't got no first round pick because of Fitzpatrick.
Okay,
so somebody from the chat said wanted to know about Mason while we're on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think Mason was out there. Throwing interceptions on purpose because he a red hat and he didn't want the black man to win. I'm just saying.
You think that's what it was?
That's how deep it is, Ken?
Hey.
You say he's trying to,
this thing.
Trying to foil the season.
Y'all think he said the word? This can be brief, but we just got the question from the chat.
To my man?
He called Garrett a
no, because why my man didn't bring it up in the first time he had cameras in front of him?
I don't think he did. I think he said everything else. Like everything but that word.
I don't think, because I mean, he should have said that the moment that maybe the cameras,
because he was calm in the, after that. He was like, yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying.
My, yeah, like
if somebody calls you a nigga, you're like,
right?
And you, especially you're the Steelers too. It's a rivalry.
You should have been like, yo, you know what? He said a racial slur to me, and I lost my cool. You know, it never happened again. I let my emotions get the
best. A whole week go by.
You should have said a whole week go by. Dean's awesome. Oh, he said the N word
in court. Really? You know, he called me a nigga, right?
I'm like, come on, bro.
We would have had your back right after the game.
Like, you gotta say that quick. You gotta say that quick.
The first thing I thought, like when he got popped upside down, I was like, oh, he had to call him a nigga.
Right. That's the only thing.
But then I saw those two nuts. I'm like, okay, that probably pissed him off too. When he kicked him in the nuts, then he kind of grabbed him.
I didn't see the nuts kicking.
Yeah, like if you,
I just thought he was just pissed. He took
like after he tried to take his helmet off, and when he got up, you can see he snudged his foot right up in his nuts, and then when he got up, that's when he took another grab, and that's my man was like, boom. Right up top.
Which, if he grabbing his nuts, I mean,
right?
That might
that
be a little valid.
That can piss you off too.
He took it. Obviously, the dude asked for a fight, and he got more than we bargained for. That's all it was.
Yeah.
So, but no, I don't think he said it. Whoever asked the question in the chat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely think if Tomlin can get them into, I thought if he can get,
I don't
into
even
want
to talk about Tomlin anymore because these next four games, like B said,
they're tough. I didn't realize how tough they were. Let me tell you this. He got the Cardinals, which hopefully they should win.
But they offense.
But then they got the Bills. They got the Bills at home.
That's tough.
They got the Jets away. And then they got the Ravens away.
They're going to lose that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're going to lose that.
And it's only because it's Duck Hodges going out there.
Yeah.
And some Benny Snell Jr.
Who's that?
Thank you.
That's the backup running back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Juju been hurt.
Yeah, I know.
He gonna stay out too because he see what the
first. He trying to pull the AJ Green. AJ Green cost me in fantasy.
I don't know why you drafted him.
I thought he cared about football.
He
was supposed to come back by week 4
no,
or 5.
I think it's also more about like he thought he was gonna get traded too, and he's like, you know what, fuck it, I'm done.
Yeah,
that's some weak ass shit.
No, wait, hold on. When you've been for how much AJ Green is. I would never
shit
on AJ.
Why did he say he wanted to sign an extension? Why did he say he was coming back?
Because he wanted that money.
He wants security.
He can get the money elsewhere.
He said either you give me long-term security or move me. What else do you want from a player? A player always looks for long-term
security.
This
is last year of the contract, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you think they're going to pay him?
Hell no.
They should have moved him.
They paid Tyler Boyd. They showed –
Nick, you know this more than we do. They don't trade players.
Yeah, Mike Brown doesn't trade players, but
– telling us that.
Yeah, he does. He's not trying to make another team better. That's what his quotes is. And that's why he's the owner he is. That's why I'm on the spagel. But with AJ Green, he is one of the best Bengal players we've ever had.
He is. Next to Dalton.
Well, I was just talking about, with
he like, but I.
You throwing me off right now. AJ deserves his flowers. What he's saying is, I agree with him 100%. They either need to move. They need to move on with all. They need to do a whole rebuild. Yep. They need to move 100%. On all their great players.
Man, you're going to support him sitting out the season?
What's the point? What does he have to prove this season? Besides, and you only calling him out because he's on your fantasy team. So don't act like this is for football.
Weak ass shit. That's a weak shit.
You don't give a damn
shit.
About Cincinnati. I actually care. Like I've watched AJ Green from the jump, and I've met him. I've seen him. I've heard everything. He's a great representative for the city of Cincinnati. And what the Bengals have done to him right now in his career is just pitiful.
You can't say he's a good representative when he's sitting out, chilling.
But he's laid it all out on the line, right? It just kind of like Megatron. And Megatron was doing all of that, almost had a 2,000-yard season.
What is this?
I'm just saying, look, Ken.
If this was anybody else, we would be calling him out.
If it was anybody else.
Context, right? Like for AJ Green's context, this man done did everything. He done played hurt, would have messed up ankle before, right, when they were in the playoff hunt. This year, when we seen what the hell them Bengals were really putting out there on that field, what would he change?
Did he or did he not quit on his team?
He didn't quit. He's hurt. We don't know.
That man is not hurt.
No, I'm just saying, but he is coming off of back-to-back ankle injuries, like serious ankle injuries. Like
he pulling a Le'Veon Bell.
He could have played. He could have played.
But you was praising Le'Veon.
No, I wasn't.
Especially when you said get your money.
No, I wasn't. I don't recall that.
All right. Pull a tape? We about to pull a tape. Because you was like, do what you got to do. And a team that you actually support, the Steelers.
I support the Bengals, too. They'll tell you before you got here.
Because you was a big Marvin Lewis fan. Mm-hmm.
And Dalton. I gave Dalton. I said the Bengals should have paid Dalton when Dalton was good. And they disagreed.
I'm just saying, like, he ain't too enthusiastic to go out there with Ryan Finley throwing him the ball. Like, what the product that you're giving me to work with is like.
Joe Mixon went out there.
He a rookie still. I mean, he's on his rookie deal, so he's still trying to get paid. Right.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. Quit
it. He still got something to prove. AJ don't got nothing else to prove.
He's going to be a Hall of Fame.
We know he.
He's not going to be a Hall of Fame.
When he's healthy, I think he is. I think the numbers will suggest that. But when he's healthy right now in the league, he's top five wide receiver.
I agree
with that, too.
So,
going on to that Bills game, what's the main reason why the Cowboys aren't great?
Well, I'll tell you, and just like somebody pointed out in the chat, they not getting their money from that $90 million investment. In the second half against a Bills defense that's suspect against the run, he had two carries.
Is that his fault or is that coaching?
I'm just answering the question. That's not his fault. He can only run the plays that's called.
Exactly. So to me, the biggest reason why there is a disconnect between the talent and the wins for Dallas is Jason Garrett. I think that, you know, it's so funny. Yesterday, Spike was saying how he's like, man, my team got the worst head coach. And you got to think about that. It's like. He has an argument.
Just because of the roster that you're thinking about, like, and what he's doing with
100%.
It?
100%.
Okay.
Like, let's just look at what Gruden's doing, right? Like, because me and you, we're here there with the Raiders, mm-hmm. right? We see what they have to work with. And we're like, bro, you're going to win four games this year. They already won six, and they're a 500 team. If we just swap out Gruden and Jason Garrett, we're thinking 10 wins by this point. They should be 10-2.
Gruden would be a phenomenal coach for the Cowboys. But obviously Jerry Jones wouldn't let that happen.
Of course, right? Because we know that's Jerry's world. But at the end of the day, when teams start off slow, they're not focused, they have a lot of penalties. What's that? That's coaching, right? The fact that Dak has to put on a virtuoso performance in the second half of games just to get them back into the game, that's asking too much of almost any quarterback in the league. You know what I'm saying? And then the whole run pass thing. Jason Garrett keeps calling plays to pass when they should be running.
Mm-hmm.
And then they call plays to run when they should be passing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a direct representation of that miscommunication between him and that football team. And then who was it? Des Bryant that just came out and said that he doesn't relate to black players when the league is like 80% black? Well, like, yo. Yeah, look that up. To me, the Dallas Cowboys are the top seven roster in the NFL, and they're playing like they're middle of the pack. That is not because of the talent. That is not even because of Jerry Jones. Well, part of this is because of Jerry Jones.
I think the main part of it, yeah.
Because he wants a head coach that he can control. Mm-hmm. If you look at the success of the Dallas Cowboys, right, they were the most successful under Jimmy Johnson,
mm-hmm.
and Jimmy didn't play none of that BS. I was the guy that picked these players. Jimmy did everything but pay the players, right? He was the GM. He was the head coach. He got his guys.
One of the best trades of all time is with Jimmy Johnson. Yeah.
100%. And Jerry felt like, I'm not getting the credit for being the owner, so mm-hmm. what did he do? He moved on. And then who was the first coach that he got from that?
I forgot his name.
I forgot his name too.
For who?
Right after Jimmy Johnson. He won that
Was it Barry Switzer?
Yeah, Barry Switzer.
Yeah, he won that Super Bowl.
And it was a college head coach. And how long did Barry last? Like 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And ever since that, Jerry hasn't picked another strong-willed head coach.
And I was going to go to that because I think he wanted to prove that he can win without a great coach like Jimmy Johnson. And he did that. And from then on, he was like, okay, I can still be the starter.
Nope.
And Jerry knows exactly what he needs to do, but he won't do it.
I don't even think he knows what he needs to do. I think Jerry Jones is very delusional. I think he's delusional. How old is he now?
He at least 80-something.
That man is delusional. 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 That's the only word.
Well, you can say I agree with this team, but at the same time, what he's done for football and everybody's talking, he's the marketing genius. He did do a lot. He's a Hall of Famer for a reason.
You know who he is? For the NFL, he's Dr. Jerry Buss.
Wow, he did say that shit. Coach Garrett needs to sit down with John Harbaugh and learn how to relate better with his black players. It's hard to win whenever you've got a divided organization. And he also said, just for the record, for people listening, I 100% don't believe Coach is racist. He just can't relate.
Wow. John Harbaugh, he just got his ass whooped by Ohio State once again without Urban Meyer.
Maybe he meant the other Harbaugh.
Yeah. I mean, Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, maybe he meant Jim.
Jim. I think he would be a great coach for the Dallas Cowboys.
There's a whole bunch of other coaches.
But that's what I'm saying. When you say delusional, it's like it's easy because every year we see like, oh, this new head coach is great. And like you can, there's a whole great crop of new head coaches coming out looking for an opportunity that could do wonders more than Jason Garrett.
100%. But let's also understand the relationship of Jason Garrett and Jerry Jones, right? Like this is the closest that he's ever been to a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you're talking about a backup quarterback during your glory years. Think about who he's probably talking to the most on that sideline. The backup quarterback. He's not talking to Troy. Troy out there winning games. He's talking to Jason Garrett when he was a player. And then he went through a couple coaches. You know what? Bright idea. Let me go get the guy I always used to talk to. And he went and got Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett's been the Dallas Cowboys head coach, what, 8-9 years now? Almost a decade?
Yeah, he's been there for a minute.
He's behind Belichick, probably.
And he's barely 500. And I understand the reasons why they didn't get rid of Jason Garrett when they could have. Context.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, injuries, but we still 8-8. Okay, we're going to come back. We're going to be better. But to me, this is the final straw. And I'm okay with them firing Jason Garrett at the midway point or not. You know, because I don't think that it's.
He's 83-65 as Dallas head coach, so 56%.
So you know, a little bit north of that's a good win percentage in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? So he's done his.
Pat Sherman would love to have it.
100%. But at the end of the day, he's not getting them over the hump. He's just not.
Yeah, he's not an over the hump coach.
He's not an over the hump coach. I think that Jerry Jones has gotten the most he will get out of. Jason Garrett, it's time to move on, and it's time to concede the bright lights in the show of we did this and we like he just needs to start. And I understand that it's difficult. I'm not saying that this is going to happen overnight, but I just think it needs to be a process.
Because winning Super Bowls in football is way harder than probably. Well, I would say maybe baseball is the hardest, but
you need everything to go to right.
Exactly,
100%. You need luck. You need skill. Yep. You need everything. You need the ball to bounce your way. Mm-hmm. 1 inch this way, 1 inch that way.
So it's not. Yeah, it's not bad Seattle. That he talks about it, but it's the past, and it's damn near like what coming on.
They
20
said this
years.
Man was almost in tears after losing that game, after Dallas lost the ball.
Because every week he's coming out saying, "Yeah, this next game we gonna get it. This next game,
And that's why he needs to shut the hell up.
He's the only owner that talks, though.
And be an owner, not even a GM, bro. You don't even.
But he ain't going to do that. We know that. But he's been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah, y'all been saying Jerry needs to be quiet,
Well, and here's the thing. I'm not saying, you know, don't have no bravado. Like, you're the owner. You're a billionaire. Kraft talks to, but here and there. Yeah. We don't hear him week to week.
He's selective.
Even Mark Cuban, I know we go into basketball.
Shit since he been in that
damn spot. Ever since he got that massage, you're real relaxed.
He has been. That's his favorite spot now.
Yeah.
But even like Mark Cuban, right? Like Mark Cuban, when he first got into the league, especially once he won the championship, he was talking cash shit,
boy. Man, he was P. Diddy with that damn trophy, boy. Right? He was everywhere popping bottles.
But now, right, he has arguably the best young player in the NBA. Have we heard him say anything?
B, turn on the football game. But
you know,
wait, who?
Mark Cuban.
Oh yeah.
You gotta humble yourself just a little bit and take a step back and let the people you hire do their job. Your job as an owner is to sign checks and to have final say. It's not for you to get. How many owners give post game interviews?
And they do weekly interviews in Dallas every week.
Come on, man. It's too much. It's too. You know how like people always say, "Do what you're gonna do, but don't tell nobody. Just let your actions speak louder than your words." Jerry Jones needs to take that advice.
And going on to that, with Dak, you mentioned it earlier, FIFO, as far as him having to have so much to overcome in the second half. They're like one of the worst first half teams because they always are in the hole. It seems like, and they have to come back. And Dak is doing. I think he's still a top 10 QB for what he has to do in the second half to win. I know y'all still going to poo-poo it, but the season's still young. And nonetheless, they're going to win their division regardless, which is what I think me and you predicted that anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think with how their season will end, I don't know who they played the last few weeks of the season. It should be a softer schedule.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty favorable.
So they should still, again, they play Chicago this Thursday. But I still think that they should be able to close it. They play Chicago, the Rams, the Eagles, and the Skins. They should be able to close that out.
Damn, they could easily go 1-3.
Not with the last two, the Eagles and Skins.
The Redskins they could beat, but they can lose. They can lose to Chicago, Philly. Bro,
and Chicago,
and Philly, yeah. And what was the other team?
The Rams.
They can. Yep. Yeah. With the way they've been playing.
It's Dallas. Yep,
with the way they've been playing, it could go either or. I'll put it this way.
Yeah, okay. I would say 2-2 at worst.
But who's going to win that NFC East?
Dallas by default.
Did Chris Carson fumble really? Already?
Look, man, Dallas could win that division going 500.
That's crazy. Going 8-8.
8-8.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, because Eagles, they had the door open for the Eagles, but Eagles lost to the Dolphins.
Yeah, man, Eagles don't want it.
Going on to another team that I feel like we forgot about that's still balling. Are the Saints the forgotten Super Bowl contender?
They're flying under the radar, and I think that's how they want it. I think the only time that they were put back onto the radar was a couple weeks ago when they lost to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And everybody was talking about them like, oh, come on, man. It is what it is. It's just one of those things.
Divisional game.
NFC South. Like, they done seen them so many damn times. Any given Sunday. It's so many things that go into that. But I think they are. And I think that the way that the Saints are constructed right now, the type of season that they've had, I think this is what they want. I don't think they want to be on anybody's radar. I don't think that they want to be talked about. I think that they're focused on just getting healthy, starting to play our best football. Because remember, Drew Brees missed, what, like 3-4 weeks this year?
Yeah.
You
maybe,
know,
nah, he missed more longer than that. Yeah.
Like almost five.
Almost 5 weeks. You know what I'm saying? So I think that they just want to get back as close to 100% as possible and make this playoff run. Because we know.
They're not making a playoff run.
They're not?
You don't think so? You don't think they can do it 3 times in a row? Nope.
Why not?
They're slowing down. Like, they struggled against Atlanta. Like, Atlanta's terrible. Atlanta's
on a streak, right?
And I know it's a division game, but they didn't look that impressive to me from what I saw. And they tend to have slow second halves. I normally attribute that to Drew Brees, just age. But, and he's been, he's had 5 weeks off. He has a month off. And I don't know, man. These last couple of games, it hadn't looked good to me.
You don't want to watch the Saints, especially Drew Brees. He don't got it. No more. Like, his arm isn't as lively. He's still deadly accurate. He could put the ball wherever he wants, but he can't drive the ball. You know,
it's not coming off as easy.
It's not. And I think eventually that'll catch up to them. But I still think that they can take the best defense or the best team to the limit. Like, you're going to have to beat us. We're not going to roll over and just be like, oh, yeah, you know, we lost by 20-something
points. Yeah, no, they're always see a tough
that.
Out.
They're going to be a tough out. And because of that, and because you're talking about Super Bowl winning quarterback, Super Bowl winning head coach, and just the level of just championshipness that those two guys still possess, I don't see how they just kind of get ran over in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, they do play San Fran this upcoming Sunday.
Well, we know that we know what's gonna happen there.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't even start Drew Brees that game. There's no reason to put him in harm's way like that.
They're gonna beat the shit out of
you.
New
think
Orleans.
So?
Oh, hell yeah!
But San Fran's on the road. They had.
It don't matter.
The Bens.
Look, but they in a dome. You putting that front seven in a dome? Nah, man. Nah, I'm not putting Drew Brees in harm's way like that.
I know,
bring Teddy
raining.
Out.
Bring Teddy out.
They did slow down Lamar Jackson, and I'll give some credence to the weather, but Drew Brees is a statue.
Yep. He going to get hit about 3-4 times, like big hits.
I think they're going to light them boys up, man.
So, yeah, I want to start
they
them.
Light them up.
I don't know.
Like, hey, Drew, you need some load management?
Hey. We'll see. Give the job to Teddy if that's the case. He was already 5-0 anyway. Speaking of switching quarterbacks, should the Eagles trade Carson Wentz?
No.
You and this.
I'm just,
Carson Wentz hate.
No. But I think the coach, they lost two games
Because they lost to the Dolphins, man.
I understand they were by throwing 14.
Up. They threw up 31 and lost to the Dolphins.
They were up 14. He threw a red. I don't know if it was a red zone interception, but he was picked off in the end zone.
Yeah, that's a bad loss, man.
But when you lose, I think Carson had a good game. There's other issues going on. The receivers can't catch. That's been documented all year long. They lost two games because of it. And I think the coach with Frank Reich, I think losing him is proven to be more impactful.
The Kyle Shanahan effect?
Than the original. And who are you going to go get, Nick?
Exactly.
You going to go get Nick Foles?
Or Gardner Minshew.
You've been caping for Foles. You're going to go get Foles who got benched.
Foles is what I didn't celebrate Foles as a quarterback, but for that team. I was saying for that Philly team. I never said he was a great quarterback. I was saying for that Philly team.
Pull up the tape.
You can pull up the tape. I said for that team, he was better suited for that team than Carson Wentz. I said they should have picked Foles over Carson Wentz.
If Foles was on this team this year, just have as bad. Same results.
I don't,
if not
he
worse.
He played with the same players. But, what's different?
He did not.
Who did his wide receivers?
Wide receivers were the same. He had Aguilar. He had Alshon Jeffrey.
Aguilar dropping balls like this?
Not for Foles. He's dropping it for Wentz.
Nah, that's not Wentz's fault.
Yeah, man.
Well, if I throw you the ball, what's his job?
He's supposed to catch it.
All right.
That's it.
But if that's not your dude, that ain't your guy. Right. It ain't your homeboy. You ain't got the same connect.
If the
ball is placed where you can catch it, you got to catch it. That's
Nick,
it.
If Aguilar and what's the Alshon Jeffrey, if they're not catching the ball, what do you think that's going to do for their career?
It ain't good.
Out the league.
Yep. Average to slightly above average. Well, Aguilar is not even – neither one of them right now are above average. Yeah. They're average.
Well, Alshon,
if they're not
catching
the ball, they will not get a job.
Yep.
They got to catch it.
But like you said, there's more going on. There seems to be more going on in Philly than what we talk than
don't
what we see.
Hype.
So you saying it's all just drop balls? That's all. That's the only reason why they lose.
Primarily,
from what I'm seeing on the field, yes.
It's not all, but I would say it's definitely like 65% of the
I think there's
why.
A reason the drop balls are happening. I think there's a
they
locker
can't
room.
Catch.
There's a locker room issue because no. That's what I was saying. He caught him for four. You all agree that Nick Foles is not a good quarterback as good of a quarterback
drop balls
as Carson Wentz.
Is typically due to what? Lack of focus. Right, because as a wide receiver, you're seeing this thing come at you. You got to focus in on this thing. You got to ignore the DB. Get your hands. Make sure you catch it and then tuck in and do whatever you got to do. That is a lack of – that has – even if there is locker room discord, at the end of the day, when that ball is in the air, you get paid millions of dollars to come down with that thing. And if you're not coming down with it, that's on you. That's not on the quarterback.
I'm not.
That's not on the locker room issues. That's on you.
I'm not saying it.
I've never seen a receiver drop a touchdown because they don't like a quarterback.
All I'm saying is this: we've seen the Eagles with Wentz, and we've seen the Eagles with Foles. The only difference outside of those two things, there is no difference. The same team, the same players.
I just told you it was a difference.
What? Because
Frank Reich. We saw Wentz with Frank Reich, and he had that was the year they won the Super Bowl. We've seen
went to the playoffs last year without him.
We've seen Wentz without Frank Reich, and he ain't been the same.
They went to the playoffs without him last year, and they won a playoff game against Chicago when Chicago
good.
Was they looking like a Super Bowl contender last year.
They didn't look all that good last year. This team just isn't good, man, and it's not all Wentz. They can't stop anybody. They can't run the ball. The receivers can't catch. We can't put all that on Wentz. Mm-mm.
All right. Well,
they just terrible. I tweeted it. I was like, the Eagles are terrible. You don't see the Dolphins?
Well, if that's not the case for them, what about this? Do the Rams need to draft a QB?
Yes. No. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. What's wrong with the Rams? It seems like they got the same similar issues. They can't run the ball. Receivers ain't getting the ball or can't catch.
Yeah. Goff. It's Goff. Goff has been terrible this year. I mean, there's no way around it. And I think when you build that team the way they have on the legs of Gurley, and Gurley's not there. You know, when they got smashed by who? The Ravens?
Yeah,
the Rams?
Yeah.
When they got smashed by the Ravens,
smashed,
I think Gurley cost me a fantasy matchup. I needed 2 points. This Negro got like 4 carries. So I'll say for 22 yards. And I think it's McVay, and I think it's Goff. And I think people need to start calling out McVay. They gave him all that praise when he was running around smashing people, and now he's losing and it's nothing.
I'll say this about McVay. I don't think this is more to do with him, but I do agree it's about Goff. Even though I was singing his praise last season. I think with McVay, it was like he squeezed all the juice too early.
When you can coach, you can coach.
You can, but there's other, but most of the times.
He's D'Antoni. Mm. And I've been told y'all that. There's a certain particular style of system, and he needs a running back. He ain't got no running back right now. So you're seeing his system be exposed. And that's all it is. It's that he can't coach. Obviously, he's easily relatable. He's a younger Pete Carroll, right? Like, in terms of relatability, in terms of, yo, turn up the music in practice and do this. And let's be loosey-goosey, but we're still focused. He has all of that. He has those type of intangibles. What we're seeing in terms of the product on the – you can't tell me, Ken, and let's mm-hmm. be honest.
Okay.
If Gurley was 100%, these Rams would look like this.
Oh, they'll look better. Yes. 100, yeah, yeah.
So again, that's the reason why I liken him to Mike D'Antoni. We see his trick. Okay, bro, are you D'Antoni? Or you gonna be Phil Jackson? Oh no, Phil Jackson wants your.
I was gonna say he's. I think he's Brad Stevens than Mike D'Antoni.
Push his ass in. Come on, we need that touchdown.
But we gotta see him do stuff outside of the comfort of his system. Those are great coaches. Belichick, mm-hmm. right? Sean Payton. All of these guys that we put up there, it doesn't matter what's around. We're going to be great because I'm great, and I'm going to bestow my greatness on y'all. So Sean McVay does need to get a little bit of this criticism because mm-hmm. he needs to elevate his team regardless.
But we all agree Sean McVay is a good to great coach, right?
I don't
good.
Know yet.
Come on, he
got downgraded. He got downgraded this year.
Yeah, but he's still good.
He's good. Okay. He's above the fray.
Yeah, he's above average.
Above average.
What about Goff? Do you think he's above average QB?
I've always said that.
Okay. I think Goff, because like we've seen Gurley without McVay, we've seen Goff without McVay, and they mm-hmm. look what they look like right now.
But why is McVay a good coach?
Because I've seen him elevate talent that he's had around him to a Super Bowl contending level.
Because if you're a good coach, a la that's Bill Belichick, point. You should
but
be able
Belichick
to...
is the greatest coach.
Okay, you can't say Tomlin. Okay. All right, nigga, Tomlin.
Mm-hmm. All right.
why the hell has if without Gurley and he got mm-hmm. two? They drafted a running back because they knew Gurley was suspect. Why hasn't he managed to make the adjustment to his offense and to his coaching style with the lack of weapons?
This is the first year we've seen him like this, right?
But it doesn't matter though because when you're a great coach, it doesn't like the time frame doesn't matter. You adjust.
You can switch out the pieces.
Now here's the thing: like it, I'll give you 2 to 4 weeks, but after week five, we got to be readjusted.
We just got off.
McVay might be me, Jason Garrett.
All right, come on, man. I was just saying, like we talked about somebody like Sean Payton and Drew Brees. You said they mm-hmm. had that championship experience. Mm-hmm. Sean Payton and Drew Brees haven't had all winning seasons their whole relationship. As a matter of fact, they had 2 losing seasons where they didn't even make the playoffs. Were we that critical of Sean Payton at that time?
Should have been, and they were not. I don't know why he got a pass, but he did.
And Sean Payton had that whole Bounty Gate where he wasn't even part of a team for a whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's like this, Nick. When you're great, right, it doesn't matter if you're the head coach.
Look at Pete Carroll. Look at what Pete Carroll's doing.
Yeah.
No, beast mode gone. That mm-hmm. defense is gone.
Legion
he's still winning games. Yeah. Granted, he got Russell Wilson, and that helps.
Of course.
But if McVay's supposed to have his quarterback, where
do
we?
You got to be able to pivot. And that's the thing that I have not seen with the Rams is pivoting off of the Todd Gurley influence. Todd Gurley isn't who Todd Gurley was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. How are we going to mix up this pot of gumbo to make sure it still tastes good without the girly spice?
Because it ain't going to get no better.
Exactly.
I'm using bad English because it needs to be emphasized. Yep. They got no picks. And, yep. Because
they're trading for all these big names.
Well, they already traded all that stuff.
It's gone.
Yep. So how you get better right now? And you don't have the cap room to sign people. So, yeah. So I wanted to go back like a half step. Talk about all these drop passes. Y'all want to guess who has the number one drop passes in the NFL as of today?
Dallas.
Nah.
Eagles.
Nah. Eagles are number 10.
Lions.
Lions. Where the hell?
Hold on. Number one drop passes.
Where the Lions at? Where the hell y'all at?
The Patriots.
Number 21.
The Patriots.
Nah. Patriots are. Where the hell y'all at?
Oh, they can catch.
It's always a random ass.
He only throwing it 2 yards.
I'm gonna just say it's definitely emphasized one of my points this year. And where the hell are the damn Patriots?
I don't need to know.
Oh, Patriots number four. Number one, Chicago.
Patriots number four?
And drop passes. And that's part of that's a big part of their struggle. Number one, Chicago. 20 drop passes on the season. That's freaking ridiculous. There's a lot of teams that are tied. Philly is number 10, tied at number 10 with 14 drop passes on the year. So I think that that's come on, man. And then 14 don't sound like a big number, but then let's talk about context, especially that game here in Atlanta.
It could be one, and that could be the game.
And that's why I said, like, an inch this way or inch that way, the ball going, that's huge. Mm-hmm. And I can't say that Carson Wentz has looked good all season, though.
No, he
deserves a lot of criticism. But if I just highlight one game where context is super big, is that Atlanta Hawks game.
You got to get rid of the locker room then.
You know what, Nick? I'll put it to you like this. Carson has been so up and down this year, more down than up, that I felt like I should go back to my original take. Before he had that MVP season.
They say Dak is better?
No. Dak Carson was being hyped up by the media. Because I didn't see it. I think, were you big on Carson?
No, I wasn't big on Carson like that.
But I didn't see it with Carson.
I didn't like that draft class.
I thought it was hype. I thought they were just doing the same thing like they kind of did with Goff. Then he had that run, and I started looking. I was like, all right, well, maybe he is. Maybe he's all right. But, no, I think I might have been right on that one.
One of the last questions I got for football.
Hold on, before you go. So you want to know who has the least amount of drop passes this year? You'll never
guess. The Ravens.
The damn Falcons.
That's just damn.
Two drop passes all year.
Two? Crazy. Well, I mean, when you got Julio and Ridley, I can see that.
Yeah, they just don't. I don't know what's wrong. Well, yeah, I don't know what's wrong with Atlanta. Which means more to their season, Pats losing or Texas winning?
I don't think they're going to get rid of the Dan Quinn. But, yeah, I think they're going to bring the coach back. Say that question again.
Which for that game on Sunday?
Texans.
Texas winning?
I don't think they've beaten the Patriots in the last 5 years. And that's big for, I mean, you know, pro brother all day on this show. So I'm glad Watson got a signature. I'm going to say it's a signature win for him to beat Brady, to beat Belichick, to beat a 10-1 team. Mm-hmm. Coming in the season, and to do it convincingly.
Yes.
The way they did.
That game was over after the second quarter.
Yeah, I think he needed that. I think he needed that for his resume. I think he needed that for his career. I think they needed that for the confidence. I have no confidence in the coach, but I have all the confidence in the world in Deshaun Watson. And they've struggled against the Patriots, so I think it was big for them because a lot of people had that penciled in as a loss.
They almost lost. They almost Falcons that game at the end.
Y'all see those onside kicks,
man?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, almost. That shit was crazy. All three, and yeah, you got to go find you a trick a kicker that can do those type of kicks.
I would say the Pats. I thought it was more the Pats losing, not to take anything away from Deshaun Watson, but just to see how shitty that offense looks. Like, if Muhammad's
first time noticing that,
no, but it was like it was so glaring because it was a Sunday night game. It was the only game on.
They
like
begging for AB to come back.
Man, at this point, shit, they about to pay the girl.
They better not bring that.
they gonna pay the girl to be like, all right, come on, we need this nigga. Like, I just think that just to see him, like, obviously Muhammad Sanu ain't nothing to go home about. But if he's like one of your number one options,
it's a problem.
It's a bad. You got a bad offense.
And then did you just like I saw it on Get Up. They were just showing what Brady was saying on the sideline, and he was like, I can't. Like, Brady was just monster. Brady was like, I can't win with these niggas. And he probably said niggas.
He probably did.
Y'all know we caught video of him saying that.
You talking about, Ed Reed? Oh, I can't blame him, though. Like, for what he has, if Julian Edelman is your best wide receiver and he's a slot guy at best, come on, man.
Yeah.
You ain't doing nothing.
But I'm with B. I'm with FIFO. Until they lose, I ain't gonna
because like we just talked about, they could have won, or they could have made something interesting in that game.
What's interesting is like as bad as they are, how many drop passes they have all season, they still be in games. Mm-hmm. How many times have they really gotten blown out?
Right. Outside of that Ravens game, that's it.
Yeah. Exactly. And then And then this is the crazy part. This is arguably Tom Brady's worst year. He looks extremely pedestrian out here. He looks 40. He looks his age, right? And I think that if he had more help on the outside, he wouldn't look 42. He might look 38. You know what I'm saying? Maybe 37. But at the end of the day, Tom Brady's still good enough to win your Super Bowl.
But what did I say when people were running around ranting and raving about the damn Patriots? I said they hadn't played anybody.
And their two losses against some of – well – yeah, they're some of the best teams.
Yeah.
At least in their conference, too.
The Texans got a winning record, and we know what the Ravens are. So, yeah, that's man, that and shit counts.
Brady can't be black. that's what it is.
Two losses against black guys, his niggas.
Well, since we're watching the game on right now, last question I got is, who needs this win more, the Vikings or the Seahawks?
Vikings,
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, yep. They need
him. Have won a Monday Night Football game. But I'll give him his props, man. He's played well. You know, and I think I can't say he's overcome those demons. I don't know.
Hell no.
You can't ever tell with him.
Because the little run that he's had has been against
shitty
losing
teams.
Ah. Yeah. So, and that's the reason why I said the Vikings, because if you beat Seattle in Seattle,
that's a lot.
Big. That's like, okay, Kirk. Okay, Captain Kirk. You know what I'm saying? We got to put a little bit more respect on your name.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. I think it may be Seattle.
I was going to say how San Fran is, and like they're really they're trying to win a division, I think, just to secure a playoff spot, because the NFC is hard 100%. This year.
Not only that, this win will make them tied with San Fran.
They'll
both be 10-2, and
they still got to play later on the season too. Yeah. I think that's their last game of the season, probably.
Yep.
You see, no statistical anything for that play, but that had everything to do with Jadeveon. But this is the reason why I'm not worried about Seattle, and we talked about it, right? Like Pete Carroll, these guys are champions. We got that head coach quarterback relationship. It doesn't matter if they make the wild card. They just want to get in the dance.
Yeah.
Obviously, you want to play for home field. Obviously, you want to have a first round bye if possible. But the way that just the moxie that Pete Carroll bestows onto that team.
Just get us in, man.
Mm-hmm. Just get us in. So that's the reason why I'm like, if Seattle loses this game, it doesn't hurt them.
Yeah, because it's going to be two teams from this division going to the playoffs.
Exactly. We know the two.
Yeah.
The San Fran and them.
Right.
It doesn't matter who makes the wild card now. Even if San Fran makes the wild card. Right. Do you really want to see San Fran in the first round?
That's a horrible first round defense.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
young defense, too.
Exactly. So it don't matter. It, to me, in my honest opinion, it does not matter if Seattle loses this game. But the Vikings to lose this game? Not all of those same question marks that we were having, it's an even bigger question now. You know what I'm saying? Like, are we going to cut Kirk Cousins this offseason? Are we going to
His contract is up, right?
Nah, he got guaranteed money, remember?
But it was only for two or three seasons.
I don't know what his contract is. But either way,
they're not going to cut him.
This raises the questions about, because let's be honest, Minnesota has a top five roster. How many teams got two wideouts
for a minute
running
now, too.
Right.
A stout defense. How many teams? Not many teams. They're a quarterback away.
Yeah.
Let me see what this contract is looking like.
I'll put you like this. Nah, I ain't going to say that. I ain't going to say that.
Yeah, they got one more year. He's owed damn near $30 million next year. So, yeah. 2021 is when he can get cut.
Yeah, so you're going to ride that out.
What was you about to say?
I had to walk it back in my head. I'm not
going to
let it go.
I know the video's fake, Marty. I was just messing around.
Is that it for NFL? Y'all got anything
That's else? It, but let's talk about this college, man.
Oh, yeah. Hey, go ahead. Take it away.
Always a good day when Alabama loses. Mm-hmm. And they lost to Auburn in a crazy match.
Pretty much hurt their chances of being in the playoffs.
Nick Saban almost had a heart attack.
He did. As much as I hate Alabama, he had every right.
He did.
They lost by 3 points.
Yeah, they did.
Was the timeout at the same time as the field goal and everything?
They did a review, and in college, the clock stops when you get a first down, and then it was also because they did a review, the clock was stopped. So because they had time, all they had to do was just line up. And the announcer was saying, and people have said that, well, I've heard a conflicting statements. One, you can snap the ball with 1 second on the clock, and the other is that you can't. But we all know if they would have ruled him down, they wouldn't have been able to get lined up in time to to either kick the ball, get the field goal unit on, or spike it. So that cost them essentially the game. That didn't cost them the game, but those were critical points. Yeah. What cost them the game was them damn pick six.
Yeah, what was it like? At least two of them, right?
Let me ask you. So do you think that there should be a runoff if there is a review with less than like – or just like if there's a first down
– and you have no timeouts, yes.
There should be a runoff.
Yeah, it should have been. It should have been something. You can't – the team got rewarded for that.
Because if you get down, you're 100% right. If there's 1 second and, the clock stops, there's no way for me to get my field goal team on and hike the ball and kick that field goal all within that 1 second without a timeout.
Yeah.
So there should be a runoff.
And Auburn's not that damn good. They don't have an offense. So there's no way in hell they should have won that game. But that guy was doing the Kirk Cousins. He was literally – when he got some black guys in his face or anybody – he was just tossing that ball. He was just slinging it. And I give Waddle balled out. He kept them in that game. But either way, it don't matter to me. I'm happy they lost.
So who's going to get in now? Because look at the playoff picture. We got Clemson is undefeated. They pretty much going to go undefeated, assuming we so. LSU presumably beats Georgia.
Best team in college football.
But I think both of those teams go in after Clemson the SEC and LSU. Championship.
And then you got
State. I was talking about UGA and LSU. I think they both get in.
Well, here's
UGA lose.
Yeah, because that's that's two L's.
Here's the top six right now. It's LSU at one, right. Ohio State at two, Clemson three, Georgia four, Utah five, Oklahoma six.
And Oklahoma and Utah got one L's. And Georgia about to have a second L.
Yeah, Georgia four through six have the same record, 11-1.
And right. Utah and I think Utah get
Oklahoma.
In.
Oklahoma.
And I don't know, man, because Oklahoma's playing Baylor, who's ranked ninth.
Yeah, I mean, they got one
good ass win.
Is that a home or a road game?
I don't know.
I mean, they play neutral when it comes to the Big 12 championship games.
But that'll be a good ass win for them to be the top 10 team for the championship game, which they apparently put weight.
Somebody's got to take that fourth spot. And so you said it's going to be Georgia.
You don't think Georgia's going to get in?
I think even if Georgia loses, how they – because remember, college factors that in. Like, if they lose by a field goal, it's a good game, this, that, and the third. I think UGA could still get it because you're talking about who the other loss was an egregious loss earlier in the season.
South Carolina. Unranked South Carolina.
Yeah, unranked South Carolina. But you lose to number two ranked LSU and you lose by a field goal?
But look at all
it shouldn't drop you out of the top four.
Right, but look at all the – and Georgia has a lot of ranked – wins on their schedule. They played a lot of.
They played
top
Florida. They
teams.
Played Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
Texas A&M. I think did they play them?
Texas A&M wasn't ranked at the time.
I thought they were. I thought they were like 24. But either way, they have like. I think they have like four ranked.
Notre Dame. They placed them.
Yeah. I think they have the most ranked wins, and like. You have to factor in their strength of schedule and also how they may lose to LSU. They lose by a field goal or a touchdown. They're still better.
It's a
than,
discussion.
They played Notre Dame twice and beat them. So yeah,
I don't think they're gonna beat
LSU.
I think LSU gonna smash
home,
them. Yeah, Fromm is not as good as people say he is. Also, that receiver was dumb as hell. Got into a fight, like a real fight.
They gonna miss him for first half.
First
quarter,
half, he's
like
gone.
Yeah, yep.
The running back, DeAndre Swift, hurt his shoulder. Yep. He may be okay by the time the game comes. But LSU got defense, they got a sound running game, and that kid, Joe Burrow, is the truth.
Legit.
Almost completed 80% of his passes, and he is so poised in the pocket.
So
what
so
year
LSU,
is he in?
He's a transfer. I don't know. I think
he transferred from Ohio State.
Ohio State. They had him, but he couldn't.
Because he was there with Haskins.
Yeah, and they played Haskins. And
so
we
LSU
saw what
beat Georgia 31-7.
Oh, Georgia out of there.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but Georgia, he makes a great case for Georgia has faced and won against some of the best teams in the country, literally.
They can't get blown out.
Good, though?
Huh? They was ranked both times. They was ranked 11th and – hold on.
But what's Notre Dame record now? Like, they whack. I mean, it's like over –
they
kind of
whack.
Yeah.
They're ranked, but I think they have like two, maybe – oh, Joe's a senior.
Okay.
They ain't Athens. Athens, Ohio. Yeah, that was why he was
so
hurt.
You think he's gonna be the number one pick?
Got to be easy. Okay. Yeah, easy. Like
so, who's poised to have the number one pick in the NFL right now?
The Bengals, probably.
Yeah. Oh, I hope he don't go there.
Hey, we
like
need
Joe,
him.
Man. I like Joe.
So you say
we're
going to ruin him?
Yes.
You
said
it's
going to
be like
that.
Keely Smith?
I like Joe a lot, man.
If the Bengals are able to draft him, you got to give A.J. Green a two-year contract.
That's the only way I would like to see him. I still think
you need to rebuild.
I agree.
Just for the draft picks and talent.
So right now, Cincinnati 1-11, Giants 2-10, Washington, Miami, and
Giants
3-9. So
chill out, man.
They do, man. Yeah. Danny.
What you mean that Danny? You've been talking about Pat.
Hey, you heard what Pat said? Pat mad. He out there talking shit again. Talking about, well, you know, the record is what it is, and I know a lot of people gonna say that, but Fred, I didn't get the job done. He got that same tone.
I ain't gonna say that. But anyway, I'll say this about Pat. I'm cool with moving off Pat. I like Danny Dimes.
Pat need to get out of here, but Danny would be right
behind
him.
We need to get that OC from Kansas
right
City. Let's get him a job.
But I think, B, that Utah will get in. All they have to do is win. They win, Georgia lose, they'll get in. And I think they'll
be
fun.
Yeah, by that logic,
I think they got a black quarterback.
Utah?
I think they do. Let me check.
No Big 12 representation, huh, from the in the college football champ, you know, in the college playoff.
Yeah, what do they call it?
That means
you're
going to have a Pac-12 then.
College football. But I think their quarterback is black, so I wouldn't mind seeing him, man. Let's see. But I think they'll get in. And I honestly thought they should have got in even if Alabama would have won that game, because they end up playing a tougher – yeah, he's black, Tyler Huntley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, Ken, now, you know about Daniel Jones, right? So, ever since the Arizona game that was October 20th, let me make sure I counted this right. That's five.
Use all one hand.
That's 10. he has 13 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, and 3 of those interceptions came against Green Bay.
How many fumbles? Like 8?
Yeah, he's a rookie.
Exactly. So the fumbles I'll give to
every
the
QB guy says like you can fix the fumbles. But
he's 13 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, and 3 of those interceptions came in one game, and he's a rookie. So
it was in Lambeau.
He still don't,
it was cold as hell.
He don't look that hot.
But can
shout out to Dwayne Haskins for going 2-0 as a starter.
I'm just saying, Ken, 13-5 is pretty damn good for a rookie, man. 13 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, and 3 more than half of those interceptions came in one game. So before that game, right, he was 12 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. Bruh, you take that from anybody across multiple weeks.
He's sticking to his point. Ken said, I said what I said.
I know. But, you know, I'm the numbers guy. I got to bring it out.
I appreciate you, man.
I'm stubborn. But same with Barkley. Your boy Barkley ain't looking so hot.
Well, that's coaching. Yeah. I think that's coaching. He ain't using them right.
All right, okay. So I got Utah will get in, and if they win, if they don't win, man, I don't know, man. Jalen Hurts had his shot. Let's see somebody new.
I would like to see Jalen with this team.
Nah, man, I like clean cut Jalen Hurts, and he looks good. But I want to see somebody new. I think we've seen Oklahoma in there before. I don't know. I can't remember. But I'm tired of them. Let's get somebody.
Yeah, it was in there last year, I think.
Let's get somebody new. Hey. Michigan, Harbaugh.
Yeah, I brought it up earlier. Yeah, hey, he couldn't beat Ryan Day at home.
That's a good ass football team.
No, but I'm just saying, like, we always talked about it.
I already knew they was going to lose going into that
game. Well, I'm just saying, like, that we talked about Urban Meyer. Like, he's the legend. So, of course, you're going to lose to him. That's fine. But even then, it was still
a
conversation.
That's a well-oiled machine right there, man.
Did you watch any of the games?
I watched like the first half, but once I saw what's his name, J.K. Dobbins go off for like 3 times, I was like, it's a wrap.
Ohio State was a well-oiled
It was like 28
machine,
to whatever.
Their defense wasn't even playing good. They did a good job on Chase Young, who I think may be overrated, but I don't know. But because he ain't looked that hot when I've watched him play. But they did a good job on him. And
I like Fields. Fields throw a good ball.
He does, but
that defense against me, there was one where the guy literally just ran a streak route. Nobody stopped him. He's just like, all right, shit, I'm going to throw it to him.
I thought Michigan could get him because they were playing really, really well coming into this game. And I thought this could have been a trap game for them. Their confidence was high. Their defense was playing well. Offense finally looked like it was rolling. But, man, when that dude, he fumbled the snap. Took his eyes off the ball.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that was.
And
it.
They just made a lot of mistakes.
That was the play that turned the game.
They made a lot of mistakes.
They were in the red zone at that point too, and he just fumbled it. And I was like,
yep.
Oh, yeah,
and they were the only way they got "quote unquote" back in the game was when Ridley Whitley fumbled the ball on that punt. they were probably going to put six. They damn near put 60 on them already.
They were going back and forth. It was a back and forth.
I know, but at that point, it was like 42-16 or something like that. Yeah. And then they had just because what happened was one of the receivers, I don't know if you remember this, if it was happening in the first half, he caught the ball on a slant, and he got popped. And they stopped play because he was on the ground. He was checking his side. And then once Ohio State kind of got a two-touchdown lead or so.
Yeah, I cut it off after that because I was like, yeah, man, they literally are running away.
Bro, they came back in, and Shea Patterson was throwing the ball on them slants. They alligator armed all them balls. They dropped all of them. They didn't want to get hit. Because at that point, when you up like that,
yeah,
and that defense can play downhill, oh, they trying to put you out the game. They trying to put you out the game, and they didn't want any of that.
Nah.
So, but yeah, Harbaugh – I've been critical of him. He's 0-5 against Michigan.
However,
and the games haven't been close.
However, yeah, because that was the first time in their series period that a team has won back to back by throwing up 50 points. Mm. However, I will say about Jim Harbaugh, he's turned around that program though. As far as where it was, you never talked about Michigan for the last, before he got there, 3-4 years.
He has.
And now all of a sudden, yeah, they haven't beaten Ohio State, but that's it. That's the only thing they really haven't done.
So what do they
done.
Need? Because Shea Patterson wasn't the answer. I don't know, man.
They're still not getting, like, the top-end recruits. Like, the top-end, to me, like, the top-end recruits are still going to the Bamas. They're still going to the UGAs, the LSUs, like, you know, even Ohio State. Like, I don't think that from a talent perspective, he's improved Michigan, but he's still not on the same playing field as some of those other big programs.
His first 4 years, he got the best talents. Like, as far
I think
as
that's what they were saying.
Because, obviously he still had that shine of being a coach in the NFL. But now it's like, once his recruiting class left, like, the Jabril Preppers and all that stuff, it's like, yeah. I think you're right, people. I think the talent
he's just not
is too spread out.
Anyway, but yeah, I was definitely tuning in for that game because I thought Michigan could make it close.
My sister, she went to Ohio State. I was like, yeah, I might not get it this year. I'd be like, one series, 5 to 10 years, it seemed like they'll beat y'all. But yeah, it just didn't happen.
But yeah, it should be interesting. I'm excited. Clemson didn't play anybody this year. I'm not gonna overlook them. They had an easy ass, weak ass schedule as well. While Dabo out there talking shit. Talking about nobody wants to see him in. How about you play somebody? And I like Dabo, and I like Sunshine. But they had that soft-ass schedule, and they struggled. But once they had that scare, they've been beating the shit out of people. But 27 wins, and nobody's really talking about them. It's all about Alabama and Ohio State, obviously. But I'm interested now to see what happens. This is going to be a fun weekend, and I can't wait to see who they decide to put in. But it'll be nice. So we have Huttley is black. Damn, I think.
Justin Fields is black.
I think it'll be even. 50-50, man. Sunshine and Joe Burrow, white.
Joe Burrow might be black.
I like Joe Burrow, man. My favorite QB.
All right. Basketball, NBA.
Are the Lakers for real?
That was my question.
I don't know.
The question I had was, are they really good?
I've been looking at their schedule.
Look at their schedule. Tell me what
like,
it is.
Okay, since the start of the NBA season, they lost to the Clippers, of course. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Jazz. They beat the Hornets. They beat the Grizzlies. And they go into November. They beat Dallas the first time in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Spurs. They beat the Bulls. They beat the Heat. Lost to the Raptors. They beat the Suns. They beat Golden State. They beat Kings by 2. They beat the Hawks. They beat the Thunder twice in a row. They beat Grizzlies by 1 point. And Morant, Joe Morant, he's balling, man. They beat the Spurs by 10. Beat the Pelicans by 4. Beat the Wizards, and then lost to the Mavericks.
There's only 4 teams that you mentioned that stand out to me. Outside of that, that's a soft schedule.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though, right? Like,
because the real stretch, real quick, people, mm-hmm. the real stretch for me is going to be for
this
them.
Next stretch
is going to be from December 27th through Christmas Day. So on December, I'm saying it's 17th, they play the Pacers, the Bucks, the Nuggets, and then the Clippers on Christmas Day. I want to see that stretch. I want to see how the Lakers play.
Here's the thing. The Lakers have beaten everybody they're supposed to beat.
Right.
Right. And then the way that they've looked in their losses, like, because that Dallas game, they were pretty much up the majority of that game.
Yeah, until the score, then, yeah, don't, yeah, the score, don't let the score fool you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they were up. They dominated a lot of that game.
Until the third quarter when they got busted.
Yeah. Man. But it happens in basketball. Like,
yeah, 82
one,
games.
Yeah, one big run, that'll change the whole course of a game. It doesn't matter how much you were dominating. If we go on a 25-5 run, that's sometimes, depending on the team, that's game. Right, so it is what it is.
Do Avery Bradley
Clippers ain't be? They only be like four good teams too.
Mm-hmm. You look at their record.
I did.
What's they? Oh, well, go ahead.
I know their record, but I just wanted to look at some of their good wins. Yeah, they had some good wins, but it's not. They had a soft schedule.
Yeah,
too.
Look, we're not in midseason form yet.
Barely no first team. Quarter of the season.
Yeah. Exactly. So you know what I'm saying? Where the Lakers are right now, when I watch them play, they're gelling a lot quicker and better than I thought they would at this point. So that's number one. That's the first thing.
Who's
of the eye test.
It's only two people that's jailing.
I think the rest of the team.
Danny Green is playing big time.
I agree.
Dwight Howard's playing good and his the time.
Dwight Howard is playing.
The points JaVale don't look McGee. All that great, but as a team,
yes,
they play well.
There's one player that's sticking out to me that needs to jail.
Your boy.
Who? My boy Kyle Kuzma. He got to get. He helped out a lot of that New Orleans game. He was clutch for them. But
he
needs to be consistent.
Yes, and not consistent meaning
that's
that,
why they
oh,
lost
he,
to the Mavs.
Nah,
1-8.
That third quarter, bro, they couldn't do anything with anybody. They can't guard a three. That's what they probably.
My thing with Kyle Kuzma in terms of consistency, it's not like going 1-for-8 or this that. It's being effective throughout the game. Because Kyle Kuzma is only effective in spurts. And once they can integrate that into an entire four quarters, they're even scarier.
He playing like he on the trading block.
Yeah.
He don't look.
Kuzma?
He don't look that comfortable.
Y'all look good, though.
But he looked comfortable last year when he was on the trading block.
But
LeBron.
But this is a different squad.
Yeah, this is a different squad.
This is all vets now.
But I just
with what expectations?
Exactly.
But do you think it's coming off
expectations?
Coming off an injury, it's a whole new squad. He still got to get integrated.
I don't know what it is. I'm not going to pinpoint because I think you would really have to be part of that organization to really know what that is. It could possibly be the injury. I don't know exactly what it is, but I just know his impact needs to be felt through four quarters instead of a little spurt that puts him over the top.
Yes, yes, I agree.
And I think that's the biggest thing that I see with Kyle Kuzma. But, nah, man, the Lakers, they look good, and they're playing defense. They're number one in defensive efficiency right now in the NBA. Mm. So with all that being said, the Lakers, to me, are legit, B. I'm not saying that, you know, they're the clear-cut favorite.
Right. But they're definitely.
Oh, yeah. They're a top four team in the NBA. And then when I look at, you know, projecting going down the road, you know, the two best teams to me that I've seen so far are the Lakers and the Clippers. The Clippers ain't got nothing for AD, man. Like, I think that they, even though the numbers don't say
AD.
It. I'll adjust that in a little bit. Even though the Lakers are number one in defensive efficiency, I think that the Clippers are nastier, dirtier, hungrier on defense than the Lakers are. The Lakers just have a lot more rim protection, mm-hmm. and they get better. They get more rebounds than what
they got
Clippers
more length.
Do. But the reason why I'm saying that I think that the Clippers don't have nothing for the Lakers is because they can't do nothing with AD. The Clippers are nastier on perimeter defense. When you get around that hoop, bro, you got JaVale, you got Dwight, you got AD. Like, even Bron's still getting chased down blocks here and there. Mm-hmm. It's a different style of defense. And I think that if and when those two teams see each other, they don't have nothing to stop the Lakers to get into
the I hope they're
the
all
rim.
Healthy come Christmas
Day. 100%.
That's what I'm saying.
They all
healthy.
Need to be. I swear to God. Look, if Kawhi talk about any load management on that Christmas,
he's not
day,
doing that.
I'm out.
He's not doing that. He's not doing
He'll
that.
Play
he's
I'm pretty
play
sure Adams. I'm pretty sure if they healthy, Adam Silver gonna
he
be like.
He need to send a memo. He need to send a memo.
Everybody's playing Christmas Day. Yeah. Except for Zion. Everybody playing Christmas Day. I would say this about AD. The main point that you brought up as far as the Clippers being more physical and grittier is the reason why I think they can knock. They're not gonna slow. Shut them down or anything. But they will play him the best that anybody's played him this far this season.
What have you seen? Like anybody
that wasn't a full force of the Clippers.
No. I'm both teams. I'm talking about the league, mm-hmm. right? Because we're 20 games in now.
What's going
to
change?
Right.
What have you seen whenever AD gets any type of mismatch? Unstoppable.
Yeah, of course.
And the Clippers don't have nobody. Montrezl Harrell, he's going to get put in the rim, bro.
He's going
to
abuse him.
Because you know what he's going to do to Montrezl? And I know Montrezl got, you know, perimeter deep and he got quick feet and all of that. He can't stick with AD out there on the wing.
What do you think he's going to drop on Christmas Day?
Who?
Like AD? Points-wise.
Points-wise? You know, honestly, I think that this is going to be AD's coming out year just from a global perspective, right? Because we know the numbers. We know the purr. We know AD's been the guy. Mm-hmm. But in New Orleans, he wasn't getting the spotlight. Mm-hmm. I think 40-piece.
I think if he put up 40, they're going to lose. And the reason why I say that is because last time he down there put up 40 on the Clippers is because they kept giving him the ball.
Well, here's the thing, right? And it was interesting because against the Pelicans when the Lakers went back there, the first three quarters they force-fed AD the ball, mm-hmm. right? And those are the type of things that you look at early in the season and later on down the season, okay, you can't do that. You got to learn from that. Mm-hmm. AD can get 40 without you forcing him the ball.
Yes.
And I think that by Christmas, he can give 40, and they're not going to have to force him the ball.
I think he'll get between 20 and 22 points on Christmas Day.
You know what? And that's fine if he gets 20 points because he probably going to have 20 rebounds and 3 blocks and eight assists.
I think LeBron needs to get about 25, 30.
20. I think it'll be more LeBron show Christmas Day than focus on AD.
And you know why I disagree? Because this version of LeBron that we're watching, like the point guard version, even though he's...
Which is crazy.
Crazy. Even though he's been a pseudo point guard playing small forward, like he's really about getting his guys involved, especially in the first couple
quarters. Isn't he averaging
like
10 plus assists?
He's leading the league in assists.
He's leading the league in assists.
17th year.
Yeah, man.
Is Luka number two?
Yep. Luka's number two. That's even, crazy.
Yeah,
as hell.
Crazy too.
But I fucks with Luka, man.
Yeah.
I like Luka.
Yeah, I like Luka too.
But with all that being said, Ken, I don't know if LeBron needs to get 30 to beat the Clippers.
I think they need to be balanced. So they need to put up at least 60 combined.
But he can't do that against that perimeter defense.
And that's why LeBron
won't be able to do that.
And that's why I disagree with you with the points. Because LeBron needs to have a better floor game than scoring game against the Clippers. Because bro, they legitimately have the two best defenders against LeBron.
And at his age, he can't really score that effectively against those guys all game.
I think with the Clippers, the main weakness that I'm seeing from the Lakers is 3 points. Like, they cannot guard the 3-point shot. And the Clippers have some of the best 3-point shooters. They have some of the best scorers on their team, and they're really good at three. Kawhi can shoot.
Yeah.
George can shoot. Lou can shoot. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be the – if you're throwing up threes against twos, because AD's game is mostly inside, not outside.
I think the biggest thing – so the reason why I don't know if they're a good – the record is the record, but I don't know if they're a good team is because I just see too much AD and LeBron.
Nobody else.
And I need to see more balance. I thought Kuzma was going to be that guy. He struggled. He needs to play well.
What about Caruso?
But let's just say that he does. The difference when I look at the between the Clippers and the Lakers is that fourth guy. So we can go.
Shit, the Clippers got 5, 6, and 7.
That's what I'm saying. The Lakers don't have that. Where is the Lakers Montrezl Harrell? Because I think they can match Kawhi, Paul George, and Lou Will if Kuzma plays well with their big three. They don't have a Harrell.
No, they don't. But okay, so there's one name out there still in the free agency that I don't understand. Now, first of all,
Jamal Crawford.
How's this man not in the NBA? He'll be effective,
but you know he's a streaky shooter.
And I get that, but at this point,
you gotta have
it. Yeah, and you know the last game he played in the NBA, you know how many points he scored, Ken?
Like 50.
Yes. How is a 50-point a guy that can go get you 50 any given night? Year 18, 17, 19, I don't know what he can still do it. He can't do it every night. We know that. We know what Jamal Crawford is.
So you're saying you need the threat of it?
Yes. Yes.
Because you can't deny that he can get busy.
Exactly. And when he gets busy, you just give him the ball with the hell out of the way.
He tweeting. He out there. He said, hey.
He was saying, I thought, is he in China? Is he doing, or is he just on his couch?
No, he always hoop. He's always playing ball. Like, if it's pro-am, he's always hooping. But, like, you mean to tell me you got the likes of Jared Dudley?
Okay, fine. I get it.
So, but with the Kuzma thing again, I just think that he needs to be able to play the entire game good instead of just stretches.
I agree.
In terms of the Clippers Lakers, man, I give the edge to size because you cannot teach it. And the Lakers are the second biggest team in the NBA. So to me, if it came down to it, I know that the Clippers got scorers and they got perimeter scorers and guys that can go get you 30, 40, 50.
That's the league right now. That's why I give it the Clippers.
But they're not playing any defense.
Who?
The Clippers. They're giving up a lot of points.
I don't know what y'all talking about. I understand what you're saying, but I'm not. But it's still early in the season. I don't think they're playing their real defense just yet.
I know. Ken.
It's one or the other, man.
I know. Ken. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, they're not playing defense. The benefit is, like you said, it's the league, and they can outscore people. But
the reason why they're giving up points is because they don't have rim protection.
Okay.
Right, and obviously it's hard as hell to get past PG and Bev and Kawhi. Right, it's hard. But if and when you do, who's back there? Zubac?
Now, the one thing I have seen since Paul George has come back is they are basically turning into a Clipper version of LeBron and AD. They're both taking turns putting up shots to the rim. They score so many points, everybody else score. It's a little bit more balanced than that.
Yeah. I slightly disagree because the way AD and LeBron have to play together, LeBron has to be the ball handler. AD has to be the
that pick
the
and roll,
roll
is mean, man.
It is. You Jesus can't. There, LeBron, there's no AD, way you can guard
AD.
Yes.
Yes.
You can't guard that.
Man.
But when I watch PG and Kawhi play, with PG now, they play quicker because they're taking quicker shots. Because that transition.
But aren't they taking most of the shots, though? I think everybody else get in where they fit in, but
nah, Lou still getting up his. Lou's averaging 20 off the bench. Yeah.
I know, but a lot of that came.
Montrez is better than 14 off the bench. You got 35 points off the bench with two guys.
I'm just saying, it seems like it's more of a duo.
They not just put up 150.
I understand that, but
that's more than two guys, Ken.
Was against
this is more of a prediction than actually what's going on right now.
I'm looking, and it looks like to me that they are just their version with more pieces around them. But it looks like Kawhi and Paul George are.
But Ken, let me ask you something, man.
I don't trust Paul George in the playoffs anymore.
Just go ahead. That's what he want to say. That's all he wanted to say.
I said it. I've been saying it since he came out.
You got a long way to saying that. That's all it was.
but let's look at some of the greatest teams, right? Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen was Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, the rest of them.
This is true.
And whenever you have it, when it was Kobe and Shaq, it was Kobe and Shaq and the rest of them.
This is very much true.
When it was Penny and Shaq, it was Penny and Shaq and the
rest. I'm not knocking them. I'm saying is that in the playoffs, if that's what we're looking at,
mm-hmm.
and if that's what it's going to come down to, Kawhi and PG versus AD and LeBron, who are you going to give the advantage to? Because then you're going to default to.
I give it Kawhi and PG. I'm just keeping it a buck on that. That's how I feel.
Let me ask
you.
So it's arguable LeBron year 17 and Kawhi prime, right? Like, okay.
Cancel out.
You mean to tell me you rather take PG over AD? Healthy.
Yes.
You fucking crazy.
I'd rather do that.
You crazy, bro.
Why?
I've seen more of playoff P than playoff AD.
Okay.
Playoff P?
Compared to playoff AD?
You seen
more.
Playoff P have one good game. Maybe two. When he played, when he said he was playoff P, he had that one good game.
Yeah, it was a good, little bit good a series. Bro, I would just say AD, I've seen AD.
We got the stats.
Hold on. Last year, right, who did PG play in the playoffs?
They played the Blazers.
What happened to PG?
Hey, you asked me between the two. There's not a lot of good to say on either side, but if you're asking me to pick,
I'm just saying, you know me, man. I like to leave breadcrumbs. I like to lead you down the trail so I can make my point. So with PG in Portland, what happened in that series? What did you see? What was your analysis on that?
I saw PG not live up to his potential.
Why? What were certain things that you saw?
He got flustered, I would say.
From the offensive side, what about defensive?
Defensively, he couldn't stop him.
And we're talking about a 6'1", 6'2"?
We're not. I'm not.
Guard?
Paul George isn't going to guard.
Playoff
AD.
P.
I'm talking about
in the
impact.
Last two games went 10-for-40 from the field, 4-of-21 from three, and he had 10 turnovers. That's your man.
You asked me to. I think
Playoff P. That's the nigga you want.
I think you asked me between AD and Playoff P. And Paul George this season upcoming. I'm picking play.
You said you've seen more from Playoff P in the playoffs.
Yeah, I've seen.
I've
seen enough to say that I can think he can get past. That's not his. That's not what he is. I'm saying that's not what he is. You saying that's all he gonna be? We've seen. Come on, we've seen Paul George in the playoffs before. That's the worst version of Paul George, right?
But Paul George,
that's the nigga you said you won.
But that's the worst version. I can show you worse stats than AD in the playoffs too.
Not necessarily.
But I've seen better in the playoffs from Paul George than AD.
The last
not
time
since
saw,
he said he was Playoff P. I'm sorry.
The last time you saw Paul George really dominate a game in the playoffs.
You talking about going back to Indiana
when LeBron was in Miami?
I've seen more.
Okay, and if that's what you want to give,
it's a hard pill to swallow both ways.
But it's not, because the most recent that I've seen AD in the playoffs was when they played against the Blazers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what the hell was AD doing? Yeah, of course we give a lot of praise to the Rondos and to the Etuan Moores and to the Drew Holidays for locking up the tandem Portland has, right?
They swept them, didn't they?
They swept them. But what was AD doing? Because I feel like that was very understated and very underrated. Because, yeah, you could lock these guys up, but you still got to put up points. And those guys wasn't putting up points.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that was putting up the points was AD.
Yeah.
And they can't. My point to you is this, that there's certain guys in the NBA you just don't have an answer for. Paul George can get canceled. Russell Westbrook, as great as he can get canceled. There's certain guys you could cancel out. Steph, as great as he is. Especially in clutch moments, you could cancel that man out the game. But you know who you can't cancel? KD. You know who you can't cancel? LeBron.
You put AD up there with KD and LeBron James in the playoffs.
I'm saying that.
I'm just asking you that one question.
Yes, from a talent perspective.
Okay.
No,
but you haven't seen it.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's why I'll give you a little something.
That's what I was saying. From what I've seen, that's why I started off saying
and
that.
And I feel,
I'll tell you what we know. In the playoffs, Paul George.
You going overall?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know what? I'm not going to do that because that'll bring that man's – that'll bring
it's,
his – that'll bring
it, doesn't,
his,
it is not fair.
It'll bring him down
got,
to 18
yeah,
points.
He got more
it'll
games.
Bring him down to
yeah.
18 points. But let's do the last two seasons when he was at OKC. 23 points a game, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.2 steals, 42% from the field, and 34% from 3. Anthony Davis in his two years in the playoffs is putting up 27, 11. They're about even on assists, 1.6, 1.6 assists, 1.6 steals, 2.2 blocks. Mm-hmm. Last year he put up 31. No, last year in the playoffs with New Orleans, he put up 31, 13. When he was in the first year in the playoffs, he put up, this is the average, playoffs per game, 30, 12, 1.8 assists, 1.8 steals, 2.5 blocks.
So from a talent perspective, and that's why I said, look, like AD doesn't have as long of a playoff resume as Paul George, and I give you that.
Mm-hmm.
But talent and what we see when he does make the playoffs, but you can't stop him. And the greatest players, and this is the reason why I brought this up too, and why I put AD on that level of KD and LeBron and some other guys that I didn't get to name, is because those guys, guess what happens in the playoffs? And Charles Barkley says this all the time. Their numbers increase. When you're the guy like that, your numbers get better in the playoffs, bro. It don't go down. And what did we just establish with Paul George? All his numbers go down. You look at Russell Westbrook, the reason why I mentioned him, his numbers go down in the playoffs. Those guys aren't guys that you can rely on. And I'm not saying that we have this long rap sheet for AD to say, oh, well, we can rely on him. But the numbers suggest that
so
he
far.
Is a better player
so
in
far.
The playoffs. And then you couple that with LeBron.
Okay,
that
so,
already
so far, Paul
George's
numbers don't look that great in the playoffs.
But again,
it goes both ways.
I'm just saying so far, but you're going off of two playoff runs, and he got bounced out in the second round
but
times.
But he increases
and what
Paul
George
has not got bounced out every time he's been to the playoffs. It's only
the last two times, yes. Yeah, the last 2 years.
Okay, but I'm just saying as far as the longevity.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about longevity of being in the playoffs and the playoff play.
But the most recent version of Paul George has been put out.
It's not good.
Okay.
But I don't think that's what he is right now.
But when is what happened to him in the last two
years?
I'm
saying moving forward, I don't think those will be the same number. I think he'll do a lot better than those numbers.
Why? Because
he's got a better coach. He's in a different system with a better player.
Look, man,
I think he'll get better results.
I'm not trying to shit on Paul George because I really like him. That's my dude.
Easily have been shitting on him so far.
You making me do this.
Go ahead, do what you got to do. FIVO asked the question: who do you trust more moving forward in the playoffs, AD or PG?
And your logic is not making sense.
I'm just being
anti-Laker right now.
Nah, I'm not anti. Laker.
Okay,
I'm being honest about it. Be the one to ask the question: are they good or not for real? And you confirm that they ain't been playing nobody either.
But that's not.
So then, what are you talking about? Anti-Laker? I'm just agreeing with the team.
We're talking about AD versus.
This ain't really
George.
A Laker conversation. It's about two players and what they can do in the playoffs.
And you picking the wrong dude.
We'll see.
If we just had to compare the last two playoff appearances, you still picking PG just based off of the last two playoff appearances.
Not last two, no. I'm not picking PG.
And then if we look even further into PG's playoff career, right, because I know Kent still got the numbers up, just certain things I remember like this. The only time that he has really increased, I guarantee you, Ken, it's not more than two playoff appearances that he increased over his regular season averages.
His highs is 28, and that was
in the playoffs,
2016 and 17. Yeah,
but was that an increase over his regular season performance?
So that was in 2016. Let me go to regular season. 2016. That's the totals. Hold on. Actually, yep, it went up by five.
By five. Yep. That is what superstars do.
Mm-hmm.
How many times has that happened? Is that the only one?
I think he did it the year before because he was at 23 the year before.
So no more than two. Two times. And Paul George has been in the playoffs almost more than half of his career.
Yeah, it went up by four.
And that's a good range. Mm-hmm. Anywhere between 4 to 6 points is you're a superstar.
All I know is when they needed him in OKC, that nigga was missing.
Yeah.
He was MIA. He couldn't buy a shot. It was to the point where I came on this very program and said that I think he did that shit on purpose to get out of OKC. That's how bad he played.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you remember it. We all remember because we all talked about
yeah,
it.
That nigga
was horrible.
I saw the games.
And that's the nigga you want. Okay.
We're going to see.
Well, I think Doc is definitely going to put him in a better position.
Doc is.
That's what I'm saying. It's a better coach, yeah. better environment.
Better coach, better team.
But my point was based.
Nah, I need a charger.
Oh. My point was based solely off of talent. Solely off of talent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because at the end of the day.
You are more high than AD than I am. I'm not as high on AD as you are.
But I don't understand that either. Because mainly because AD has the fourth highest per ever.
There is no reason for Nick to have this position about AD.
I didn't say he's a bum. I just said I'm not as high as him.
What does that mean? Give me. I need to know what that means.
It's similar to what y'all say about Joel Embiid. It's a similar stance that I have. I haven't seen it, so I'm not going to believe it until I see
it. But how haven't you not seen it?
It was only the first round, and he was against the Blazers.
But
what are we talking about here? They weren't a real factor any time they played in the playoffs.
I feel all that. But the same way that you can make an argument for Paul George not having the best coach or the best environment, this, that, and third, I can make the same case for AD.
Okay.
And when I'm saying talent for talent, AD has more.
But I've seen Paul George as the best player on his team take his team to the playoffs and take a deep run. I haven't seen that with AD.
But also, Paul George had more on that team than AD has ever had.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good argument.
And he had a better – I'm not going to say better, but a more – PG had a more defensive-minded coach when he was doing that, right? Because he had
Frank Vogel.
You know what I'm saying? So
that was a good ass Pacers team.
That was a damn good ass.
Well,
they were like I want to say they were the best defensive team in the NBA, if not top three, mm-hmm. top five. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm not saying PG is a bum or nothing like that. The same way you're not saying AD is a bum or nothing like that. But when we break down skill set, when we break down numbers, when we break down the players individually, AD brings more to this table than PG ever has as a defender. Right, PG is
a great defender,
and I'm not saying he's not. Hold on, Ken.
They're two different players.
I understand that, but at the end of the day, they play the same game.
Yes,
and they're going to probably play against each other. So we have to be able to break down and chop it up. And what I'm saying is, with PG, he's a great perimeter defender. if LeBron puts that man in the post, now PG ain't got nothing for it. Kawhi does. Kawhi's a bit thicker and stronger, right? AD has perimeter defense and down low defense. Who's a better rebounder? Obviously AD, because of the size. If we're talking about ball handling, yeah, PG has it more because he's more of a perimeter player, but AD has that. He's closer. Wherever PG is better at, AD is closer than where PG is falling off, where AD is great at, right? Like in rebounding, AD's astronomical compared to PG, right? But when we look at steals, PG's better, AD's right there. Mm-hmm. Every other thing, field goal percentage, right? AD's better. 3-point percentage, AD's right there with PG. So to me, couple that with the fact that this man is 6'10", 6'11", right? He has ball handling and he still has the best player on his team. And he has the coach that PG had when he had a top. Bro.
Did you feel the same way about LeBron when he was going to the playoffs and not making it out?
LeBron had to prove himself to me, yes.
When did he prove himself to you? What was that moment?
It was that Detroit game when he threw up 25 and
0. Who hasn't had to prove himself?
Wait. Where's Detroit? You talking about when he was with Chauncey, Cleveland. Chauncey and all of them?
Yeah, when he overtime scored all the 25. Yeah.
So that means he proved himself pretty quick. What was that, fifth year?
Yeah, because he
fourth year?
Yeah, he proved himself as the best player on the team, taking his team to the finals. How can you knock that?
They got to get to the finals?
No, I'm just saying he took them far in the playoffs.
What's far?
Out of the second round, at least.
You were saying that about, well, you were too young to
no,
see MJ.
But Dame. Remember, he was talking cash shit about Dame last year.
That's just.
Dame proved himself last year when he got to the Western Conference Finals.
I just don't. I mean, I get that
he
logic.
Damn sure don't.
But there's just so much that go into it, man, that it's hard to really judge a player by that logic.
Again, I'm not. Y'all making it seem like I'm saying AD is horrible. I'm just saying, bro, until I see it, bro, I'm not going to believe this.
No.
He's that dude.
And we feel that.
Because you're talking about he with KD and LeBron. What the fuck has he done to say all that shit?
The funny thing is that I was also on this very program and his videos, also very critical of AD early on as well. So you kind of almost sound like me. But AD did. Never mind. I don't want to stay too much on this. We need to move on.
Well, going on with the Clippers and Lakers as far as them playing on Christmas Day, these games, B was tweeting in the chat about it as well. These games ain't looking sexy at all. Like, it's looking like shit. You can miss most of them. The only one you got to watch is the primetime one. So the NBA either change or reduce the game.
They definitely need to get rid of that Warriors game, but I don't think
it's already locked in. Yeah. They can't.
Yep, they pay for it.
Yep.
Yep.
Like I said, only two games I'm interested in, the Sixers, Bucks, and Lakers, Clippers. Raptors, Celtics might be a good
one. I think that's going to be a good one, man, because both teams, you know, if we spend a little.
I think we need to give Raptors their respect because I remember coming before this season, I think a lot of us was kind of like, oh, yeah, they'd be a playoff team, but like, no, you're nothing to really sniff at. But they've proven like we're not losing a step because of Kawhi is gone. Because they're pretty much the same team without Kawhi. Same coaching, like everything.
Siakam
so,
just took his place.
Yeah, so, yeah, man, I think we have to get Raptors some props, man, because they balling. They looking like a top two team in the East right now. It's like the Bucks and then it's the Raptors. And I was thinking the Raptors going to be like a 5 seed or something going into this year.
So you think the Raptors look better than Philly?
Yes, I would say.
I actually think I would agree with that.
So top. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, man.
But I mean, I'm not saying that Philly can still be. It can still be Philly and Bucks in the East Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
But just I just didn't think they was gonna be as good.
We
right
get
now.
To the point.
I didn't think they was gonna look this good
Philly,
right now.
I
but yeah, I'm
that.
Not saying like, yeah, on paper, yes, Philly is a better team. But I didn't think Raptors was gonna look this good.
No. I agree with that. But what I'm trying to clarify is y'all feel Toronto is a better team today right now than Philly?
Yes.
No, I won't go that far.
And what about you? So I don't. They're not a better team.
I think
team
we
gotta
give them props, though.
No, we. Yeah. I'm definitely giving them their props. But they play harder than Philly.
Yeah, they scrap.
They're scrappier than
guys,
Philly.
Man.
So they may or may not finish with a better record, but they're not better than Philly. Philly. This is the one thing I don't like about Philly.
They got some problems.
Is it just one thing? Is it just one thing? Or is it more?
Let's not talk about that.
They did shut Embiid down though.
They did.
Yeah,
but that's more so Embiid than Toronto, And my biggest thing with Philly is that they have the bravado of a champion, and they ain't win jack shit. And that's the problem.
You know what Philly is? Philly's the Dallas Cowboys or the NBA.
Nah, I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to go
that
far.
A lot of talent, but it ain't done nothing yet.
I ain't going to go that far.
No, they have done something. You've seen that.
My thing is this. With teams that have that type of bravado, they have a light switch. They turn it off, they turn it on. Because they know when it's time, because experience has taught them, okay, it's playoff push time. Let's turn on this light switch. Let's get it in. Or even in the game, okay, yeah, we lackadaisical. They got us by 20. Let's turn it on. Let's knock these guys out. Philly hasn't gone far enough to understand what that light switch is, and they playing like they have it. And that's a problem. There's only one player on that team that I watch night in, night out that plays like his career depends on it. And that's Tobias Harris. That's the only one. He's the one with the lunch pail. Everybody else chilling in the break room. And that's the problem I see with
that millennial shit.
It is that millennial shit.
Yeah, chill out. It ain't all us.
Hey, I'm a millennial too.
Philly, as talented as they are, they do concern me. And I think, I think you nailed it. Just the
mentality.
The ego. Like
we don't see that pain that Embiid.
Exactly.
He's too goofy. He's almost like a, I ain't gonna say it. But he's very goofy.
Like a what?
Like a Dwight Howard.
Oh, hell no.
Now he's not that. He's
but
not
that's
that
why
level.
I said I knew. I was,
yeah,
I,
he's
I,
not that level.
But
I'm
just,
you.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As
they
far
riding
as like,
on the same bus.
Yeah.
He's just in the back.
Yeah. It's just like the talent is of like y'all said, of possibly, potentially a
it's
Shaq
just, it's all
or Hakeem.
Except Tobias.
You know, and being over here fighting and doing all this other shit is like, bro, where are your focus at?
I'm cool with the fight.
Yeah, if it means that you're gonna still. I can understand the fighting if that means hunger is there. But like FIFO saying, if you're looking like you just in a break room and now you're just fighting for no reason, missing games.
It won't fight for no reason. Like.
But here's the thing though, Kent. There should be. There's nobody in the NBA right now today that should hold and beat the 0 points. But you
look at the shots he was taking though. It was horrible shots.
But regardless, bro, you 7-1, 7-2, you top
five
in rebounding.
He should have at least got a dunk or something or a foul or
that's
something.
What I'm saying. He was shooting mostly from the perimeter, like he.
So he embarrassed himself with that shit.
He did, and I think you know Brett Brown has to take some accountability for that because and you know I've never been an NBA coach. I've coached kids. I've coached high school kids and stuff like that. I know the type of coach I am because it was the type of player I am. Call you out. What's up? What are you doing? And I think that, you know, and Ken made that point about the millennials. When I started getting older and I started coaching, you know, so they just didn't have the same type of hunger, you know, and I know that a lot of millennials, especially younger millennials, they don't like to be called out in that
Damn.
Way. So I don't know what it's going to take because I thought the losing was going to be it. The emotion that Embiid showed, you know, that game to me is a microcosm of what this team
maybe
is.
It is coaching because they should be playing like the Raptors. They should
be playing harder.
I mean, Boston play a little pretty, but they should definitely be playing like the Raptors and more scrappier. Like I want or no, like the Bucks. The
yep.
Bucks coming back with something to
yep.
prove.
Yep,
and they're not as talented as
Giannis is coming back with something. He's dropping 50 already.
That whole team is
yeah. That whole like team's focused
playing like they want to win a chip.
Yep,
and maybe that's Giannis' leadership. Maybe that's the coaching as well. But Philly's playing very.
So who's the leader on Philly?
That's why I think I'm gonna have to look at the coaching because we look at Nick Nurse. We look at who's the coach,
Brett Brown,
Budenholzer. Yeah. We look at them and the way they have their teams playing, and we look at Brett Brown and the way he has his team playing.
Yep,
they're winning games off talent.
Off talent, and my thing is this: can Tobias be like the emotional leader? Of course, just like Draymond is for Golden State, right? But who is the on-court talent leader? Because Ben Simmons doesn't
have that personality. I don't think
he
it
doesn't
stretches. I've seen it, but not
exactly. But it's not consistent, yeah. and it's like. He doesn't play to dominate the game. Mm-hmm. He plays the game to have fun. And there's nothing wrong with that.
You need that.
Right? But then you look at Joel Embiid, and it's like, have we ever seen Shaq score 0 points?
No.
We ever seen Hakeem score 0 points?
I don't think we have.
And me and you have both put Joel Embiid on that level of talent. There's no reason. Even if they both, Shaq and Hakeem, could shoot threes, there's no reason.
He was 0 for 3 from the free throw line. Like, he ain't get no points from the free throw line.
But he should have had 10 attempts, is my point. Because that means that you're working. If you go 0 for 10 and you go 0 for 20 from the field and you miss layups and whatever, okay, fine. Did you get me 15 rebounds? Did you give me 3 assists? Did you give me 2 blocks? Like what? And that team is devoid of leadership.
I think he had like 11 or 12 rebounds and 2 blocks or maybe. Or 2 assists, something like that.
But that team is devoid of leadership. And that's something that you brought up. And it's something that you've always said Embiid doesn't have. And you know, I thought that last
year. Oh, wait. Hold on. I had to look it up. Dennis Rodman has never scored. You might be like, that's Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
Larry Bird has a 0-point game. January 2nd, 1981, and he started but did not score against the Golden State Warriors.
That was vintage Larry, too, right? 1981?
Yeah, they won a championship that year.
It was the only time he did not score in high school, college, and the NBA.
Wow, interesting.
So there we go.
What happens? Very few.
I mean, I think
once in a career.
It shouldn't happen, but.
Yeah.
But it's Larry Bird. You can let one slide, I guess.
And Joel still has to build up that resume, you know. But we knew from early on,
but
Larry Bird was about that work.
But that's a shocking, 100%. Shocking revelation for me. I never would imagine of all people,
Larry,
it would be Larry Bird. But I just like it because I thought it was going to be some boob like Dennis Rodman. Okay, I suspected. I was shocked to see Larry Bird, and and I don't think Joel Embiid should hang his hat on that. But, you know, I think people can't really necessarily kill him for it now.
No.
It's not a killing, but it's more going
against him. But people do use it as ammo against
but
him now.
Exactly. You know why? It's the same thing like with Odell Beckham going on that damn party before the playoff game. Many players do it.
Damn, they say Wilt Chamberlain scored 0 points on March 27, 1973.
How?
I don't know.
It had nobody, but was he playing against the Celtics?
No, because, that was past Celtics years.
Yeah, that's interesting. But for the Embiid thing, right, like I always talk about having that experience and that wisdom of going through playoff pains and things of that nature. And we saw last year that shot that Kawhi hit. Out of anybody on that squad, it hit Embiid the hardest.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. He played 46 minutes that night without – not only did he not score – he didn't have a field goal or a free throw.
Attempt? He didn't have
You know what it was?
He was protesting?
It was at the end of his career. Yep. In the Lakers-Nets game, the last of his regular season career, he scored 1 point. Okay, that makes sense. Now, because I'm like,
I was going to say,
that shit don't make no sense.
If he's at the end of his career, then yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But I really thought that Joel Embiid was going to be able to take all of that frustration
And go ham on that game.
And go ham.
That would have been a good opportunity to do that, man.
You know, and remember about 2-3 years ago, me and you, we went to Twin Peaks and we watched the Bucks game and we were so high on Giannis and we saw Giannis falter.
Right.
And ever since that moment, Giannis has taken it up a level every single year.
Angry.
He comes back hungrier. And I can't say the same for this Philly squad. Like, it just, I don't feel when I watch them that they are saying, you know what?
It's our time.
It's championship or bust. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, yeah, we got time. Yeah, we going to win. Yeah, don't worry about that. Oh, yeah, we ain't scored. We ain't do that. It's like, yo, like, time is now. Your window is now. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much turnover in the NBA that you are one of the few teams that has been together. Right. The core.
Right.
I don't understand the mentality, and I don't know if I don't know if that is a Brett Brown thing. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it is. Maybe
I thought they should have got rid of him last year, to be honest.
That was too early. If they don't make it to the championship, and I'm not Eastern Conference.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking the finals. They don't make it, I got to get rid of Brett Brown. And so, you know, I've been a big proponent of Brett Brown.
If they lose Game 7 Eastern Conference Finals, they still get rid of him?
Even with context, I don't care. It's you got to make it to the finals.
I agree,
because at this point, there's too many things that your team should be that they aren't yet.
Q think they should get rid of him now, and Q's a big Philly fan.
You can't do.
They
it
have
right
way
now.
Too much. Talent
I thought it was. But Brett Brown showed me who he was. It's getting to that Billy Donovan coaching.
Nah, he's not.
I said he's getting there because it's just like I expect a lot and I'm not seeing it.
But the thing is that there's Billy tiers Donovan. Of coaches. There's tiers of coaches. And Brett Brown is a rebuilding coach. He's the type of coach that teaches you how to be a professional. He's the type of coach that teaches you how to play the right way. But he's not the type of coach to get you over the hump.
How can you say that? But when you see Embiid, like for me, the Embiid, the Toronto game was more about 0 for 11. I was looking at the shots he was taking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, for like you said, for the physical attributes and the talent that he has, he should be on the block damn near all the time. He's out here shooting threes, shooting, you know, long 16, 18-foot jump shots. And I'm like, you're the biggest dude on the court, most talented dude on the court. You can post up these guys and get
these
buckets.
He shouldn't have 0 points, but he had a bad game. I mean, he did put up 33 and 17 the next game, and then 27. Like,
that's fine, but this is like Rico's saying it's a statement game. It's a
statement
game.
Here's my thing. Here's what I want to say to people on Twitter. Don't come at me when Embiid have one bad game. I don't want to hear that, but when he putting up 30 and 40 and 20, I don't hear a word. I don't hear a damn thing from y'all.
Yep.
And I had to call old boy out. He was like, yeah, you know, I had to take my shot when I can get it. Nah, man, come on, man. Like, bad games happen.
And I'm not talking just solely about that one game that he didn't score. Yeah. I'm talking about, again, the microcosm of what this Philly squad
you think
feels
it's,
like.
It's becoming a culture thing?
That's a long term.
It
is, and that's why I'm saying that. And everybody that watches the show and y'all around me, y'all already know I've been big Brett Brown supporter. But at this point, you know, people show you their cards at some point, right? And I think that with Brett Brown at this point, he showed me that he's a rebuilding coach. Like, because think about where Philly started at when he was hired. Right? Like, he had to instill a lot of stuff for them to even be where they are now. It's just like Mark Jackson. You know what I'm saying? But they're going to need that different voice, I believe, especially if they don't make the finals. They're going to need that different voice, that coach that's tougher on them to make it real. Because I feel like they're walking around like in a daze of arrogance and talent. And it's like, you have to understand that you have to work for it. Mm-hmm. Like Lamar Jackson came out in his press conference and he says, nobody cares, work harder. And I don't know if I feel that from Philly. And that's a problem because they should come out as hungrier than the Bucks.
So, yeah, I don't, you know, they get mad at us when we talk about Philly all the time. But I will say this is what he has said. They said since that 0 point game, he's averaged 30 points. And he said, this is what he's saying. Since the Toronto game, I kind of changed my mindset. The whole season, I had not been as aggressive as I was last year, attempting 10 free throws a game. So the last couple of games, I've just been aggressive, being more physical, creating contact, causing whoever's guarding me to react to it. That's how they fouled me. So we'll see if he can maintain that. He said it's a mentality. That is a disposition. That is a mentality. Oh, this is what Brett Brown said. It's a mentality. That is a disposition. That is a mentality to me. More than a stat, which is kind of what you guys were alluding to. Like, what are the shots you're taking? Like, why are you not being a force in the paint? So, he's hitting 90% of his free throws? God dang. Anyway, so that's it. We'll see if he can maintain that. I don't know, but, it's a long season. It's one thing to play that way for five games after you score 0 points.
Of course.
It's another to do it for the rest. But let's talk about Carl Anthony Towns. We've been getting some heat.
What they been saying? What do they want? What's the angle?
They just want us to give them praise because they're winning right now.
Yeah.
And to me, it's not even like Cat, right? And let me explain that.
They say Towns is greater than Embiid. Why can't he be?
Well, let's look at the head-to-head. And who gets owned every time is Cat. So I don't even bring that conversation over here. But in terms of what Minnesota's doing in terms of their success, Cat has upped his game. I'm not even going to take that away. Like, he has upped his game. But I think the reason why they're even more successful, Jarrett Culver looks good as a rookie. I'm not saying he's the rookie of the year, but he fits talent that they got there. Andrew Wiggins, this is the first year or maybe the second year he doesn't look like a bum. he's actually playing more consistent basketball this year. And I think you couple all of that in with Flip Saunders' son. I want to what's his first name? Is he Flip Saunders Jr.?
I don't know, but I'm about to
their head coach.
You're going to have to defend yourself in a few seconds.
That's cool. He was an interim head coach last year, got the job officially, and now he's the official coach. And you know how that transition goes sometimes. So I think that now they have the foundation in terms of what they want to do from a coaching perspective and an organizational perspective. Cat has gotten better. Wiggins is playing better. They drafted well. So I just think it's a combination of all of those things moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. So why can't Karl Anthony Towns, who's putting up 25, mm-hmm. 4 assists a game, shooting 3-pointers at 42% clip, mm-hmm. 50% from the field, mm-hmm. he's averaging 12 rebounds a game, 80% from the free throw line. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about your boy Embiid.
Okay.
Embiid for the regular season, 22,
okay.
12, 2.8 assists, 1.4 blocks, 30% from three, 81% from free throw, I guess 90% in the last couple of games, mm-hmm. and 45% from the field.
Mm-hmm.
Karl is having a better season. If you want to see, that's your man. So you messing up. You need to jump on Karl Anthony Towns.
I'm waiting again. It'll be easy to do
pull
that
up the head-to-head numbers.
Yeah.
We talking about this season. I'm gonna pull up.
I would just say like for this season, yeah, it's easy to talk about Cat, but I gotta see how this plays out. Because I'm not saying that he's been a bum or anything like that.
But why don't
either.
We talk about Karl Anthony Towns? Let's talk about that. Because
I never thought he was.
And I'm a fan of him, and I rarely talk about
where's him. Is it because of impact? Where do you see his impact on the team?
Why don't we talk about Karl Anthony Towns?
Probably because of the squad, the team. I think sometimes.
They're not Minnesota. Winning?
I mean, they're 10-9 right now. So, I mean, yeah, maybe if they was winning more. You know, mm-hmm. more often, and I really think this is because it's Minnesota, to be honest with you.
So all right, all of this Cat versus Joel Embiid, let me put all of that to rest. Okay. All of that to
he got
rest.
The numbers.
They have a better team.
All of that to rest, because I'm not even talking about the team. I'm not talking about the team.
Go ahead.
I'm talking about Cat versus Joel. All
right. Go ahead.
They played 6 times. They never met in the playoffs, obviously East and West. 5 of those games, Joel Embiid has won. Cat has only won 1 of those games. Do you know what Joel Embiid averages against Cat? He goes for 22, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 0.3 steals, and 1.5 blocks. Cat goes for 18 points, 10.3 rebounds, so 1.5 rebounds more, only 1.8 assists. He gets more steals at 1.5 and the same amount of blocks.
Numbers go down, huh?
The most that Cat has ever scored against Joel, 25.
Mm-hmm.
Joel against Cat, 31. So, come to me when Cat gets about 2 more wins and he drops 30-some points on Joel Embiid. Because if you – and this is just numbers. If we go to the context and we go to the video, Joel be sunning
but,
this guy.
But Minnesota – I mean, okay, you're talking about a one-on-one matchup, yeah. Them versus –
because we're talking about who's better.
Yeah, when he called for the rock.
Yeah,
he
be sunning them.
Yeah.
Somebody – Marty McFly said Towns is more talented than Embiid, but he's not better right now, but it's close. You agree with that?
No. Let's talk about talent. What are we talking about? Because if we're talking about athletic ability, I think that Cat is a little bit more agile than Embiid, but Embiid got a lot more weight he's moving around.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about talent, like what are like shooting?
I think more
equal.
It has to be more efficient. He's just the more efficient player. That's what the stats say, at least for this season.
I think talent. Well, you could be talented and not efficient.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
AI
like,
was talented and I not think, efficient.
I think when he says talent, I'm thinking about like how you play the
I
game.
I don't think he's more talented than Embiid.
I don't think so either.
I think
Embiid
he's
got
efficient.
A little bit more.
Yeah.
Embiid is more – what'd you say?
I think Embiid, how he could dominate the low post – and I'm not saying Cat don't have no low post game. He got a low post game. But the difference in the low post game, Embiid is night and day compared to
and Cat. That's what I was – kind of where I was going to go. I'm a fan of Karl Anthony Towns. I love his game, everything about him. I just have more fun watching Embiid play.
Yeah.
He got, like, all of the moves. He's flashier. It looks more exciting. Like, Karl Anthony Towns is smooth, but he doesn't come across like he's dominating. Mm-hmm. And B looks like he's just out there just dominating.
Because Cat doesn't have the same level of physicality. Cat can get moved around. How many times we see Joel Embiid get moved? It don't happen. Yeah. There's not a true comparable in terms of, because like obviously DeAndre Jordan's big as hell. Andre Drummond's big as hell. And what does Cat do to them? I mean, what does Joel Embiid do to them?
Embiid low post game is overrated.
Oh hell, man, come on, man.
Cat is more Marty McFly. Cat is more skilled, and Embiid is more dominant.
I'll give you that because Cat has more handle than Embiid does. Embiid is just, he's bigger.
So that's probably agile.
Exactly.
I also think personality, man. I mean, you call him goofy and he's a clown, but that is a bit of a factor when it comes to who people like more. Cat, you're right. You're in Minnesota. And somebody said in the chat that they didn't even talk about KG like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We as fans talked about KG.
Right. Right.
But KG had a bit of a personality.
He had a personality,
too.
Though. Yeah.
Cat doesn't have a personality. You're playing in Minnesota. So you need to give us something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can respect you as a basketball player and all that, but where's the rest of it?
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're already in a low key city. You know what I'm saying? So you need something. You need something to put that neon on your light.
and the other thing too with Cat is like let's talk about all of the criticisms he had in his earlier years, right? Like you had arguably one of the greatest defensive minds,
mm-hmm.
and you struggled mightily on the defensive end. Even though in Kentucky the numbers suggested you were going to be one of the better mm-hmm. defenders, and you sucked. Right.
He wasn't good defensively.
We got
numbers to back it
exactly.
up.
Exactly. He didn't even become average till last year mm-hmm. on the defensive side.
He worked at it. Props to him.
Of course. And he's gotten to a point. But to me, man, Cat is really good. But if you gave me an opportunity to start a franchise with Cat or Joel, give me Joel all day.
Mm.
I'm not even second guessing it.
Somebody want to talk about B that you have on your fantasy team and that I liked when he played in college, mm-hmm. What is the team? But Devontae Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Devontae Graham, man. That he's a rookie.
He balling, man.
He is balling. And nobody's talking. I think he played at Kansas. Let me fact check that.
What squad?
Yeah,
he played
Kansas.
The Hornets.
Yeah, he plays with the Hornets.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Devontae Graham. Yeah, he balling,
Penny
man.
Stole a touchdown, boy, punk ass.
Vulture that motherfucker.
I know. Damn, man. Carson did all that work. But, yeah, Devontae Graham, man, and I haven't had a chance to watch New Orleans play. I'm just talking.
Charlotte,
I'm sorry. But just looking at the box score, like the numbers he's putting up, assists, he's scoring at a pretty good clip. Mm-hmm. He's getting, almost four rebounds a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some steals here and there.
Yeah.
That man, hey, he's playing really, really well. And I think his last year in Kansas, he didn't really play that well. But what I liked about him in Kansas was that he had a lot of heart. He hit some big shots, and he was the emotional leader mm-hmm. on that team. But I think because of his size, they list him as 6'2". I think he's more 6'1". I didn't know if he would be able to kind of translate into the NBA.
He's translating to the NBA just fine, man.
Yeah, he has, man. He's
got the court vision and everything.
Yep, he's a good starting point guard. May not be a store, but he can definitely run the offense for mm-hmm. you. So I just wanted to give that brother some props, man. Because and he's been more impactful. And I'm looking here than Malik Monk. Yep. What's up with Malik?
That was going to be my question.
I thought he was going to take over after Kemba left.
He hasn't been able to get on the court.
Here's the thing. If somebody has to leave for you to be able to be dominant, you weren't that dominant.
Mm.
That's just how it is. Like, you look at Portland, right? CJ just needed some seasoning. He wasn't ready year one.
Mm-hmm.
But did Dame change his game? Let me ask you this. We bring in top-tier echelon KD to the Warriors. Did Klay change his game?
Mm.
You should not have to change your game when you are a good to great player. Yeah, obviously you got to tweak here and there, right? I'm not saying, you know, everything's status quo.
Mm-hmm.
However, the fact that Malik Monk couldn't play with Kemba tells me he can't play in the NBA at the level where he was drafted.
And he's strictly just a scorer anyway, so I think that didn't help him. Last thing we'll get out of here, one, my iPad is starting to run low, it's at 5%, and that's how we power this thing. But somebody asked us and said, we better address the Luka and Trey situation.
I was going to bring up Luka as far as can he win an MVP within the next 3 years, but go ahead.
It sounds like they want to talk about the trade. And I think we've said multiple times on this show.
I love the trade.
The trade is
work for both teams.
I don't.
Works for, yes, yeah. And I didn't like the trade. All we're saying, the trade
works
for both.
System work. The system yes. that they're in, it works for that player.
You guys got to get out of that. You don't like the trade, but I think they're looking at it more about Luka balling.
Trey balling too.
Did you see the 50 piece?
That's what I'm saying.
We're looking at it beyond just what they're doing together. They're both playing well. They're both right. Because I don't know if Luka would be able to do this in Atlanta the way he's playing.
I won't say that.
Rick Carlisle is one hell of a coach.
He is.
And I think he went to the right system.
I like y'all coach
the
too,
right
though.
Coach. Yeah. And I think Trey, they both went to where they needed to go. I don't want to be stuck on this Luka versus Trey thing.
They will always
trade.
They're always going to be. It's like Magic and Bird.
You know why? Because they're the two best players out the draft.
Yeah.
I just want to.
Because look how they
link
Grant Hill and Jason Kidd.
Yep.
And it'd be like their first 5 years.
Like Wolf the Legend said, it worked out for both teams. Let's just enjoy
it. Yeah.
Them for what
it's Magic
they
and
are.
Bird.
But at the end of the day, this is sports and it has to be a winner and a loser. I think the way that I have to the players are equal.
Straight up.
Straight up, they're equal.
Who would you rather have right now? Straight up.
It don't matter.
I'm just
to
ask,
me, it don't matter.
You got to pick. Gun to your head.
Personally, I like watching Trey more. So I'm just going as the fan in me.
Okay.
The entertainer in me, I like watching Trey
more. I like Luka more entertainment-wise.
Okay, that's cool. And I can't argue that. But the analytical basketball brain of mine, the way that I judge who won or lost this trade is by that extra pick that they got that turned into Cam Reddish. And if Cam Reddish is still looking like he looks today, a year or two from now, Dallas got the better of the trade.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, if Cam doesn't turn out, but the fact is they got a chance
out.
To get him.
Yeah.
You know, and after that, it's up to Cam. You know, but look, still he's great for the city. And if I had a pick, just because of – I think I'll probably go with Trey. And I love everything that Luka is doing. He's exciting to watch. He's clutch.
He don't fit Atlanta.
He just don't fit Atlanta.
Nick, how long have you been in Atlanta?
I've been in Atlanta long enough to know that Trey fits better, yes. But we talking about there's a certain point where you're just talking about, like, who would just be the better overall player for your team, right?
But here's the thing, though.
But because they play so many different positions, I think that's even unfair.
No, they both play like point guard.
Luka's a point guard.
Yeah, they both play point guard.
If LeBron – y'all talking about LeBron as a point guard, Luka's a point guard.
Yeah, he played
second in assists.
Come on,
I know, but does he play point or is
yes.
he a point guard?
Yes, the
I
starting two guard is Tim Hardaway
and a small forward.
Nah. No.
They got Tim
height.
Hardaway
that's
Jr.
All.
As the two.
Yeah,
I didn't know he was playing point guard, so I walked him back. All right, fine, I stand correct. Yeah.
The other thing, Ken took me off my.
Sorry, my bad.
No, you good? No, you was good. You was good.
About the city? Are you talking about this?
About Luka not being Atlanta.
The only difference in their games right now, Luka's winning and Trey's not. They're both putting up dumb numbers. They're both super exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. They're both box office. The only difference is that Dallas has a more veteran team right now with a more established coach.
Yes.
Even though they're in the West, but they're more poised to win right
because
now.
That's
why Luka Trey looks better because
exactly.
It's like, he's winning and he got better.
They got KP who looks like a shell of himself.
I already told you about KP.
But
it's gonna take 2 years.
Yeah, but it's still
been
got
out for
him.
Three, it seems,
and that's still a weapon and
they can still build around all that.
Yeah,
no, he ain't a bum.
Dallas might be straight.
Atlanta don't have that. Where you? Jabari looking nice though.
Jabari
looking nice.
Bruh. Hey, I fuck with Jabari.
I'm just so mad he had back to back ACL injuries because you know how big I was on Jabari. I said he was better than Wiggins. All of
that Milwaukee team. If Jabari didn't get hurt, man,
ridiculous.
It felt like that's that Blazers team that had like Brandon Roy, Greg Oden.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like, man, if y'all didn't have injuries.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But yeah, I think that's it. It's just wins and losses right
it's
now.
It's wins and losses. And it's the talent. It's not even the talent because Atlanta's very talented. We're just young as hell.
Stupid young.
Yeah. And don't forget that Luka was playing with damn grown-ass men.
Since 14.
Since he was 14
yeah.
years old.
Trey had.
You see the difference right there.
Yeah, 100%.
That's why he plays like the game is so easy for him.
That's why when Luka came in, Luka was ready day one.
He was ready day one.
It took Trey half the season. Yeah. Like, oh, shit. He's big
exploded.
As hell. Yeah.
He exploded after that.
And then he exploded. And then look at what he's doing now. Look. And I know we don't have Steph Curry healthy this year. But when you watch this guy play, to me, it seems like he is a more under control Steph Curry. That's what my eyes
under control
tell me.
As far as what? Like being not being too loose with the ball?
Not too loose with the ball. Some of the shots that Steph hits and takes, like he makes them shits, it feels a little chaotic.
It's a bad
crazy.
Shot. It's a bad shot for anybody else.
But Trey, even the only thing that you would say is a bad shot, the reason why you would say it is because of the distance. But this motherfucker be hitting from the logo.
Man, this dude, Trey.
Yeah, he hit from the air.
I just feel he's more calculated. And that was what I was saying about Trey and why I love Trey. Because Trey is a point guard. The best thing about Trey is his passing, his court awareness. It just so happens he can shoot from distance like Steph.
Like, this is the Hawks' next star. Like, they should try to do their best they can to keep this guy around.
He going
to
have a statue, bro.
Yeah, he should be, like, their next star, like Dominique Wilkins.
Yes,
star.
100%.
Like,
they're building around
him.
He's
got to retire a Hawk.
They're building around him better than they did.
This dude jumped from 19 points a game to 28.
Yes. He might win most improved player. Yeah.
He got to.
Most improved, bro.
All the numbers went up.
Yeah.
Field goal percentage, three-point percentage.
He just had to figure it out. He's a smaller type of guy. He just had to figure it out.
Before we go, I don't know if you had anything else to say about Trey. Before we go, I got
I just wanted to comment. Mm-hmm. The guys have asked.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it no more. I just want to – let's just enjoy him. I'm done.
Luka's my MVP right now. Today.
Really?
Yes.
That's shocking. That's shocking.
Luka is
LeBron.
Luka is
my MVP. I was
going to
say, I might give it to LeBron.
Luka, he just stepped back on LeBron's ass yesterday.
He loved that step back, too.
Man.
And it's slow as hell. So
you ain't like LeBron the only
one
he's been stepping back
on. I know,
on.
But still, that dude, Luka, is balling.
It's a Paul Pierce step back.
In the era of athletics, of being so athletic, this dude is not athletic at all.
It's a Paul Pierce step back.
And real quick, last thing, Luka went from 21 to 30.
That's what I'm saying.
What the fuck?
Saying,
they both went
man.
Up 9 points.
This dude is averaging like a triple-double. 39.9 something and 9.8 something.
He ain't
like,
averaging a triple-double.
Round it off to the nearest, zero.
It's the white boy era. He's
playing loose with the facts.
Man, dude. That
you know
dude,
what I was telling
there,
my homie
my MVP.
During a, Thanksgiving? I was saying the thing it's so interesting about Luka's game is that step back is deadly, but it's unbothered.
It is.
Because it's slow. And even sometimes when you watch James Harden, he'll flail and he'll change his shot up a little bit. If you get in his space, Luka don't change. And he knocks
like,
it down.
If you're going to block it, block it.
Block, exactly.
But I'm a shooter regardless. I'm a shooter regardless.
I'm
telling you, it's that Paul Pierce got that old man. Luka do too. Obviously, he's just a little bit better.
And I'm glad you said that. It was about to slip out. Luka got that old man. Luka going to play 17, 18 years.
He got that old man game,
bro.
He do. He can play like that. He can play that same way for a decade plus.
Luka top five. Somebody said he was top five. Etherill video.
This year, yes.
Right now he's top five.
He's my MVP.
No question.
He's my MVP right now.
When you average what he averages and you do what he does. Yep.
Julian said Shai Alexander is most improved.
For what? For OKC?
I got to look at the numbers.
Yeah, I got to look at the numbers.
He's playing.
He's balling.
Yeah, he's balling. But
no, if his numbers. No, if it
may go to Siakam.
No. Yeah, they're saying Siakam might win back to back. But to me, the biggest improvement, I didn't know that
he had that big of an improvement.
To me, Trey, if I had to go as of today, right? Because I haven't seen all of the Hawks games, but the games I have seen, they look like boo boo when he don't play.
Yeah, it's not the same.
It's not the same. And for him, like, they're so dependent on Trey right now. For him to be able to night in night out do that. To me, he's the most improved as of today.
When DeAndre and man, if them boys get to,
they got to get together.
When John Collins come back and if Cam and,
that's
and
what
DeAndre,
missing.
John Collins, yeah, he got set up to PEDs.
If them boys turn out to be good, man.
Yeah, man.
But you about to say something?
I was gonna say we forgetting to talk about speaking of the West and Luka, the Western Conference Player of the Week. so happens to be my boy Carmelo Anthony.
Thank you guys for joining us. Now go ahead.
don't disrespect the legend. Hey, he back. Y'all been seeing the tweets. I've been retweeting them.
I'm glad to see that he's happy. He's balling.
But did you see the comments he had after that 25-point game?
What did he say?
He was like, "Oh yeah, this ain't no retirement tour. I don't know where that came from." Carmelo, slow down.
All right, come on, man. What are you talking about? He was just talking about he's going to be out the league. He wasn't going to average more than 15 points in this season.
And he's played how many games?
He's averaging more than 15.
I understand that, but we still got a whole season.
And he's efficient, too.
We still got a whole season.
He shouldn't have been player of the week, though.
And here's the thing.
I agree with that, but I'm not going to knock him for it.
And here's the
sympathy
thing, too.
Sympathy vote.
It is a sympathy vote. And then the other thing, too, what have I been saying about Carmelo? I said that there was a handful of teams.
He's averaging 17.
Okay, that's going to come down.
I said 15 to 18.
That's going to come down to about 13, watch. But I've been saying for years now, one of the handful of teams that he should have, when he was a free agent, was Portland.
You did say that. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm not surprised that he's having this type of success because Portland was devoid of what he brings to the table. So I'm not surprised. And the reason why I kept saying that he'll be out the league is because there was only a handful of teams. And I didn't know if he was actually going to make the right decision this time. He did, finally. You know what I'm saying? But So let me ask you this. Over under 3 years in the league. This being considered one.
This considered...
This the retirement tour.
I say three.
So over three? He's going to play more than 3 years, including this.
He ain't going to play more than three.
I think next year going to be his farewell tour.
Or the third year.
Next year is.
I put it to you like this.
He's been out for a while to where
I'm glad he got a job though.
Me too.
I'm glad he's back balling.
Me too. And I think that obviously he can still contribute to a team that has championship aspirations. I don't think that average stays that high. That's number one.
What do you think his
13, 14?
Are you serious?
100%. He's gonna have a stretch of game. Bruh, how old is Carmelo? Like 36, gonna be 37, bro.
LeBron.
I think he may be older than LeBron.
Yeah, I think he's a year older than LeBron. So that means he's going to be 36 if he's not 36. Regardless, I don't see that scoring average staying at 17. I see it coming down. And I predict that he's going to have a stretch of games that people are going to be scratching their heads.
I'm older, man. I'm going to double down. He's going to average about 20. And that's going to do it for us this week.
Right. Jesus.
That is sports for this week.
Hey, shout out to Melo. I'm buying a Blazers jersey and I'm going to the Hawks game. We got to play him. Hey, boy. He right. back.